ജയമുഷുപാദ പ്രമുഖ പരിപ്രാജ് ആചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീമാൻ അഭിചരണാനന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം ലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിബോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദൂരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധി കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധരവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യയതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയത്സൂരയാം തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാന്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത കൈതപുത്ര പരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവതം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാവരൈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യ നേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർദലിതം ഫലം ശുഭമുഖാനമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം വിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവിഭാവുകാ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദി ഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായണോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിർഷദാന്തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തദോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭനാ മുരാരേർമധുരീം ന കണികാവി കാവികാവീ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമീ നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണീ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമധീഷ വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാഹി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഗം കൗമോദരീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം
राधासहायमति सुन्दरमन्दहासं वदालये शमनिशं प्रतिभावयामि कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामनोऽयं कुमारः वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूगं करोति वाजालं पङ्कुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यल्कृपागमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमन्दिराधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द ॐ पाथाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीमष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु देवि असविशालबुद्धि विल्लारविन्दाय तवत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपा प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वोत्रमेत्रैव वाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतगृहे नमः सर्वौपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थोवत्सुदीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसच्चामूरमर्दनं देवली परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणदना जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमहरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवा पाराशर्यवजः सरोजमलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानगेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाभोदितम् लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः तेदीयमानं मुदा भूयात् भारतवङ्गजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यल्कृपागमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवे वेदैर्साङ्गपदैर्क्रमौपनिषदैर्गायन्दियं समगाः ध्यानावस्थितगद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः
We saw yesterday that Rahugana, King Rahugana, he forced Bharata Yogeshwara to carry his palanquin. That's what that story talking about. And because Bharata did not carry the palanquin properly, the king started chastising him, saying to him, I am your king, and you know that my duty is to make sure that everybody listens to what I instruct them to do. With all that ego inside, when he spoke to Bharata, what we have seen yesterday, how he spoke to him very harshly, saying to him that, I will punish you because I am the king, I will punish you for your disobedience. And various other things, saying to him that in a mood that he was saying to him that you look so weak, although he looked healthy. And punishment he has spoken about, but all that thing when it happened, Bharata Yogeshwara started replying to him, and the reply is more interesting than the questions. When he said to him, I am not carrying any palanquin, he says, I have not even come here and I am not going anywhere, and I am not walking, and I don't have hunger. These are all his answers to him. And he says to him, I don't have a thirst either, because all these things are for the body, not for me. He stood up and said this to Rahugana. From a long time, I have broken away with the body, he is saying. We have separated. Me and the body has separated from long time. And like in the families, when you have a partition between the family members, when the parents leave or they leave some assets, the children, they share the wealth and they move away. Similarly, he says there that we have already partitioned inside. We have made the partition. Partition means that the body has decided what body will do and what its assets are. It has taken that assets and it is gone. I have come separately from the body. Body means, along with that, mind, intelligence and false ego, apart from the gross body. All these things are one unit, part of the prakriti. And he says that body is doing its job, what it has to do, and I am doing mine. We have no connections anymore. This is how he replied to him. I do my job and body does what he wants to do. And whatever that's happening to that body is not applicable to me, he says. Is not applicable to me. Because this is what, in essence, what Bharata has told Rahugana. Bharata has told Rahugana. And this is exactly what Shastram is also saying to us. That, and this is the whole secret of Vedantam as well. That, but this Rahugana, it appears as though that he had some knowledge of the Tarka Shastra. Tarka Shastra means like Nyayam, logic. There is one part of the education in the Shastram which is called Tarkam. Tarkam means that one who know how to argue based on the Shastram. You study Shastram and then you make arguments. So, because of the power of this using logic and arguments to justify his understanding, Vedantam is not having any effect on him. This is Rahugana's problem. Rahugana's difficulty was, because he has studied this logic and argument side of it, it will appear like that, that he is going in that direction. Your fear, intelligence and mind is gone in that way. Then you will find it very difficult to understand the Vedantic understanding of the truth. Vedantam is saying to us that Vedantam, if it has to come into effect, there is only one way that it can happen, that the purification of one's heart. One's heart must be pure. That manashuddhi, chittashuddhi, what they call it, has to happen. So all other things you can learn from the books. But if you want to experience the Vedic conclusions or Vedantic conclusions, and if you want to feel that you can accept that inside, manashuddhi or chittashuddhi is important. Is important. That's the only way. So, for example, two disciples went to a spiritual master, and they were learning from the teacher. So, spiritual master instructed both of them, and normally they have to give the instructions and the disciples have to accept that. Both the students, both the disciples were instructed and they left. One person has a little bit of purity inside in the heart. He had a little purity inside. Therefore, he thought that whatever the spiritual master has spoken, and he understood that Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, the famous Upanishad statement he has spoken, that Tattvamasi, he heard that, and he understood that that Brahman that is spoken in the Upanishads, that's me, that is me. So, he also understood that, as far as the definition of the Brahman is concerned, that Brahman is created, is never created, it has no beginning, it has no end, and qualities of Brahman. It has no beginning, it has no end. But he also realized that as far as he is concerned, he is not like that. He has taken birth, and after a while he is going to die, and he is growing, all these things are happening. So how can I be Brahman in that case? So he came back to the spiritual master and told him that I have not actually understood what you have said to me, Tattvamasi. And spiritual master told him, whatever you have heard, you have to properly reflect on that, contemplate on that, and think and come to the proper conclusions and send him back. The other disciple who came to him, for him there was no doubts at all. He thought, I am Brahman. That was his understanding, I am Brahman. And there is nothing else to understand. This is how the difference between the way people understand things, just to indicate that. So he thought that I am Brahman and everything else what I see is also Brahman. He has no doubt about that. So while he was walking through a street, both sides of the street, there were very tall walls were built on either side. It was a very short, narrow street what he has to walk through. Opposite side, an elephant was coming, and the Mahout was saying from there that this elephant had some problem, that it must have started flowing, and therefore he is out of control. So this person thought that my spiritual master told everybody is Brahman, Sarvam Kalidam Brahman, Upanishad statements. Elephant is also Brahman, I am also Brahman. What is there to frighten about? So he walked, and then when he got there, the elephant got him and hit him and threw him away to a long distance. Fortunately, he didn't die. He survived. After he got better, he went back to the spiritual master and told him, why this has happened? You told me that the elephant is Brahman. I am also Brahman. Why this problem happened to me? So, will Brahman attack another Brahman? That was his question. So, the spiritual master told him that when the disciple asked him, you told me that everything is Brahman, isn't it? Spiritual master said, yes, I have told him that. So, how can an elephant hit me if I am also Brahman and elephant is also Brahman? The spiritual master asked him, was there anybody else on top of the elephant? He said, yes, the elephant, the Mahout was there on the top of the elephant. And he was shouting from there to move away from the path, and told everyone to move away. Nobody was. So I did not listen because I thought he is also Brahman. He says. But he said, spiritual master told him that the elephant keeper or the Mahout, who is also Brahman, if you have listened to him what he was saying, this wouldn't have happened. But you didn't listen to him. Therefore, this has happened. So this is the difficulty while studying Vedantam, that in different ways people will misinterpret the things in the Shastram and they will all come to wrong conclusions. So Vedantam has got one difficulty like this, difficulty in the sense that if you have not heard it, understood it properly, the very easy for you to go into the direction of atheism, go in the atheistic direction. So, that is why when it mentions here that Bharata Yogisvara is saying to him that whatever Bharata has told Rahugana, he says, I have not experienced it. Please make it happen to me, how to experience this, what you are telling me. And I thought that when I saw you, that you are exactly Kapila Maharshi has come and I am seeing Kapila Maharshi. And it is a very small chapter. You can see it's only about 20-22 verses in that Bharata Muni's instructions to Rahugana, but very heavy chapter, very very heavy chapter. That to tell you the truth, that in order to explain this whole thing properly, you do have to look at several other commentaries on these verses. What they are saying is that essentially that world does not exist. That's how it begins. World does not exist. World is nothing but a product of the mind. It is a very substantially introspective sage understands this, how that happens. Why they say the world is a product of the mind? manakalpitam. What they are saying is that because it is so, thing called birth and death, happiness and distress, good and bad, friend and enemy, all these things do not exist. Do not exist. There is no relations, there is no friends, there is no enemies, because you can see how that happens in life. Few examples if you look at. Sometimes, somebody who was inimical to you till yesterday, he can happen to be your relative tomorrow. In some form it happens. Sometimes it happens. It so happened that two families got related each other through marriage. But there was some enmity between two members of the family before. But when they got related through marriage, what has happened was that enmity has naturally left, gone away from them. So, or similarly, some people, for example, they can't take milk or yogurt or cow products, for example, buttermilk and things like that. So, and but somehow or the other, he read in the internet or in the newspaper that buttermilk can cure so many diseases. Something he has read like that. He changes his mind. He starts taking from next day onwards buttermilk. So where is this? How did this happen? Something he didn't like before, but now suddenly he started liking. Somebody he didn't like before, now that it has gone away from him. Inside, the enmity has gone away. So this decision is made by the mind. That's why it says manakalpitam. In the same way, actually there is no such thing here. Something is good, something is bad. And it is formed, that opinion is formed inside our own mind. Inside our own mind. Same thing with happiness and distress. Happiness and distress. So, some things makes us happy in life and some things makes us unhappy in life. In reality, nothing is happening there. Nothing is happening there. Who makes that decision that we are happy? The mind is making that decision, isn't it? When something happens in life, mind makes a decision that you become feel happy about it. The self is not involved in that. So many examples are there to explain this. Sometimes children are playing. Your son or daughter is also playing with other children. Something happened to the child, got hurt. You took the child to the doctor straight away to have him treated and brought him back. And completely in anxiety about the child's health. So, but fortunately everything was sorted out, you felt very happy. Same thing has happened to somebody else's child with whom you are now properly good relationship. Then when that happens, you don't feel exactly the same way what it has happened when it happened to your own child. Once a couple, wife went to the hospital for the delivery of the baby. After the delivery they came back. The husband says to the wife that although you have delivered the baby, I had all the pain. Says to her, I was going through all the pain. So it is fact that he has experienced that distress also in his mind. So you can see there that when your body is hurt by, say, a thorn has got into the feet, you feel the pain directly. If it has happened to your wife or children, you are not feeling the pain, but you feel unhappy, that's all. Why that difference? Exactly that what has happened to your own body, you feel hurt and you feel painful. When it happens to somebody else, it's not exactly the same way. And if it has happened to your enemy, you're not even feeling that. You're not even feeling that. So, Bhairava Maharshi, Bharata Maharshi put this whole thing to Rahugana to understand this first. If you look at the 12th chapter, how he said this to him. In the 12th chapter, if you look into the 9th verse, Bharata Maharshi's famous statement, Evam niruktam kshidishabda vruttam asannidhanal paramanavo ye avidyaya manasa kalpidaste yesham samuhena kruto visheshaha. He says, avidyaya manasa kalpidaste. Avidya, because of avidya inside, mind is acting and mind is creating this problem. That is the first step in realization. Avidyaya manasa kalpidaste. When happiness and distress comes, the first decision is to know that where is it coming from? It's coming from the mind. Why does the mind make a decision like that? Avidyaya manasa kalpidaste. Avidyaya manasa kalpidaste. That is the answer for that. That he says to Rahugana, Rahugana, all these things what you are talking about is a product of the mind. Mind has made that decision and you have identified with that mind and it starts from there. Therefore, this whole creation itself, what we are saying as this whole creation, itself is a product of this mind. To understand that, you got to go a little bit deeper into this subject. Because you've seen here, say Sawyer, they give these examples, many examples, that you saw this snake in the street, in the darkness. This person does not know, and he have no light, and suddenly he felt that the snake has lifted its hood, and puts his tongue out. And he started thinking, is it coming towards me? When he saw the snake. And as soon as he saw, because of the fear, whatever food he has eaten all got digested straight away. It didn't take very long because of that fear inside. So by now, another friend of him has come and he tells him that there is a snake there, don't go that way. The other person says, I just went, came by that way, there is no snake there, he said. So, he says to him that there is no snake there. So he had a torch with him and he says to him that when he showed the torch, it was just a rope was lying there. Rope was lying there. So imagine what has happened now, that he is frightened and he says to the friend, don't go closer to that. Snake will bite you and it's a very poisonous snake. All these things he has created inside the mind. The fear about the snake he has created inside. And that person who had the torch, he took it and showed it to him and took out that rope and showed it to him. Is this the one you are talking about as the snake? And by now, the first person who said, misunderstood it as a snake, he has already confirmed in himself, within himself, that it is a snake. It has got hood and it has got its tongue out and it's very poisonous. If it bites, you're going to die. All these conclusions has already come inside. So, when he looked at the rope, there is no eyes, there is no hood and there is no tongue, nothing. That is what he's saying here. Avidyaya manasa kalpidaste. This is how mind does its job in every situation. Every situation, if you look, sit back and think about it, how the mind organizes things in such a way. It creates all kinds of emotions inside, based on, even though the information may be false, what you have fed into the mind. But mind is capable of doing this. What does not exist, mind makes you feel it creates that existence. Similarly, a person goes to see a festival, an elephant was there in the festival, that he, in his sleep, this is happening in the dream. That elephant has heard the sound of the firecrackers And the elephant was completely in a disturbed state. So the elephant has come and hit him in the dream. And he has made into, it has cut him into two pieces. And he was crying loudly in the sleep. A person who was sleeping next to him says to him that, why are you making so much noise unnecessarily? And with this, he woke up when he heard that. He says, oh, I thought my leg was broken, he said, when he woke up from the sleep. So, then he realizes that it was just a dream. It was just a dream. So, as soon as he woke up from that dream state, the pain has gone. He was experiencing pain in the dream. He was experiencing pain in the dream. When he woke up, the pain is gone. So is the pain real? Try to understand how this mind works. It's an important thing, because when Vedantam is saying to us the activities of the mind, we will say, oh, it was in the dream. Yes, it was in the dream. But you are experiencing the pain in the dream. And then you woke up from the dream and you say there is no pain. So where was the pain? Pain was in the mind. In the mind. Isn't it? That is what Rahuvana is saying here. Avidyaya manasa kalpidasse. Avidya makes this problem. Because mind is full of avidya. This is the difference between a jnani. A jnani, he has no avidya inside. And because there is no avidya, there is no mind either. And because there is no mind, when he was loaded with the palanquins, one of the, what do they call it, the four corners, one corner was put on his shoulder. Jadabharata is telling, I am not feeling any pain. Rahugana is saying, how can it be? Why? Because Rahugana has not understood how the mind operates. Mind's nature is like this. So many things mind is playing with us all the time. This is why Krishna is saying to us, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you will see, mind is your friend and mind is your enemy. What does it mean? When the mind goes out into the world, it's your enemy. If the mind goes inwards, it's not mind anymore, because mind dissolves itself in the self. It becomes Atma and then it's your friend. That is what that verse means, actually. You remember that verse? I think it's in the 6th chapter, if I'm not wrong. Mind is your friend and mind is your enemy, Krishna says. But we start thinking, what is, where does he, how to get this friend under control? But the reality is this. If the mind is going external to the world, looking for, they give the example, like, suppose there is a, say, you have a cow at home. In the farmers normally, they have cows at home, in their goshala. They let the cow go out wandering into the field. Generally what will happen? The cows will go into somebody else's field and start eating, because cows doesn't know whose field it is. Wherever it can get some good grass or good food, fodder, wherever it can get, it will go and start eating that. And the mind nature is like that. If you allow that to go, it will go. If you allow that to go, it will go into the world and look for something somewhere to have some happiness, to extract something from somewhere. And it has got these five outlets, five senses of knowledge, through which it operates. It goes into the world and finds some happiness somewhere. If you don't feed that, if you don't allow the mind to go outside, it will stay inside, it will starve there. Mind is looking for something. They compare that with these cows. Cows, if you don't want the cows not to go out and eat others' grass or grains or whatever, what is the alternative is that you have to tie your cow in your own goshala and feed that cow plenty. And if you keep train up like this for some time, and then after that if you remove the rope from its neck, it won't go out, because it gets everything what it wants at its own place, where it is. Then it won't wander around looking for eating somebody else's food. It is this comparison that the mind also by nature, it does not want to go out. Only thing is it's not getting the food inside, so therefore it goes outside. In Vedantam they say, when it goes outside, what it does is, avidyaya manasa kalpitaste. All it does is goes and collects his avidya from outside and bring it inside. So, so many examples that a person was walking through a street, on the fencing somewhere, so many nice flowers. But in the dream state, he thought they are all expensive gold coins, and he picks them all and took them all with him. And took it with him, and there was no money there. Actually, there was no gold. But when he woke up, he realized that he hasn't got anything. It was only in the dream that he had this money with him. So, first thing, Bharata Maharshi says to Raghuvana, avidya, avidya manasa kalpidaste. If that has to be understood properly, and if you have understood this, then it's no point in saying that avidya manasa kalpidaste, by chanting the holy name or engaging in deity worship, somehow or the other, one has to experience this. That is why he is saying here that if you look at the 12th verse, you will see an important text. Rahugana tapasa vidyaya. Rahugana tapasa. Rahugana tapasa nayadi. Na chejaya murvabana gruhadva. Na chandasa naiva jalagna surye. That is the solution to this problem, he says to here. That if you want this Vedanta philosophy, this problem of the mind, if you want that to come out of this problem, everybody has this problem with the mind. So he says, Rahu ganaida tapasanayadi, na jejaya, maruvabanal grihadva, na chandasa naivajala adhisuryo, vinamahalpada rajobishegam. That is the answer to that problem. He says here, if Vedantam has to come to your shelter, if you want to experience that, or if you have to experience what Krishna is saying there, then you have to accept this, that at the moment I am dreaming a false thing. But somebody who has to woken me up and told me that I am in the dream state, equally, it's important here. Anyone talking about it is no good. But the person who is telling you must have that realization in him, that he should know that this world is unreal, is false. So his answer is Rahuganaina Tapasana Yadi. Tapasya won't help. Na chijjaya narvapanat grihadva. None of the other processes. Ijjaya means sacrifices. Narvapanat grihadva na chandasa naiva jala agni suye vina mahalpada rajobhishekam. He's saying there it has to come from someone who has freed himself from the bad effect of this mind. That means who has managed to dissolve the mind in the self, whose mind was going out always, and who is in the similar situation like us. If he tells us, it won't have its effect, but instead somebody who has managed to withdraw the mind from the world, gone inside and got dissolved. Because this mind is the most unusual thing in our whole body. We don't understand what it is, but all we know, Vedantam is saying to us, it is a peculiar force that comes from the Atma, Chit Shakti. It comes from the Chit Shakti, and it does various things. And in the dream state, it functions well, and in the deep sleep state, it goes and dissolves inside. And in the next morning, it comes back again. So nobody understands this mind, even though. We say we do understand, but nobody really understands this mind, the nature of the mind. So, in a very short period of time, half an hour or so, this association with Bharata Maharshi, Bharata Muni, or Bharata Yogeshwara and Rahugana, it had an impact on him straight away. Is it not? How come Rahugana straight away experienced that? For example, here you will see that Bharata Muni was forced to carry the palanquin. By who? By Rahugana. Isn't it? So, there is another story in the Puranam, you will know that, like Bharata, this personality, another seven sages, they were forced to carry the palanquin by Nahusha. Nahusha was a king. When Indra had a curse and had to leave, and Nahusha was a king in this world, he was taken to the heavenly planets and he was made as Indra there. So this Nahusha wanted the Saptarishis who are in the heavenly planets, he told them that they should carry his palanquin. All seven of them had to carry him, the palanquin. The result was that the seven rishis got upset with him and cursed him and sent him back here as a python. He had to come back. Nahusha had to come back here as a python. The story you will see, it is in the ninth canto also, that story mentioned there. So, what is it important here is, when Rahugana met Bharata Maharshi, due to that small association, short period of association, because Rahugana somehow or the other created that desire in Bharata Maharshi to remove that avidya from Rahugana's heart, which Bharata Maharshi did, and Rahugana felt better, and that small short period of time Rahugana experienced what Bharata Maharshi is talking about. Rahugana, this particular instance, this relationship between Rahugana and Bharata is like this, that Bharata Maharshi, Bharata Muni or Bharata Yogeshwara, Jarabharata, he felt some compassion for him, knowing well that what Rahugana is going through. Rahuganaina tapasana yadi na chejeya nirvana grihadva na chandasa naiva jala abhi suryo vinam mahalpada rajobhishekam. That mahalpada rajobhishekam is the most important thing there. Without the association of a realized soul, this will not happen. This cannot happen. That is what he is saying there. Now, in Rahugana and Bharata's case, Rahugana made Bharata to carry the palanquin, but Rahugana somehow managed to realize the truth from Bharata Maharshi. Nahusha went to the heavenly planets and there were the seven rishis there, Saptarishis. He forced them to carry the palanquin, but what happened? It didn't benefit him. He got cursed and from the position of Indra, he fell down back here into the form of a python's body. Into a python's body. So what it is indicating is that it is not good enough that you have got the association with someone who is realized. But even it is not sufficient if you have heard that. But that person who is receiving it should be able to accept it. In other words, he has to become a proper recipient of that mercy from the realized soul. It is so important. Unless one becomes the recipient of that mercy, this will not happen. And in order that, that is what he is showing here. That how did Rahugana become the recipient of the mercy of Bharata Maharshi? Bharata Maharshi felt at that time, Bharata Muni felt at that time, that Rahugana is talking, all nonsense he was talking as far as Bharata Muni is concerned. So, Rahugana, he says to Rahugana, that whatever I have spoken to you, let it happen to you, and then you will have to accept it. If I have said this to you, that through Salsangam, or through the association of a Mahalpa, that you will realize the truth, you will also take it in a theoretical way. But now, when that is experienced directly like this, there is no other way, he says to Rahugana, liberation is not going to happen to any person in this world. That is what he is stressing there. Rahuganaina tapasanayadi na jejaya maruvana grihadva na chandasa naiva jaladmi suvidyo vinamahalpadarajobhishekam. Said, in between all these things, that means this Vedantam will not come into realization unless it has happened in this way, the way it happened between Bharata Maharshi and Rahugana. Simply studying theory is no good. It's not going to solve the problem. That Vedantam's difficulty is this. That till we have the association of a realized soul from whom, who feels compassion towards us, and if he is pleased with us, and if he wants that to happen, only then it will happen. Otherwise it won't happen. Otherwise it all remains in the verses only. What he said there before. This problem, avidyaya manasa kalpitaste, he says there. So you will see there. That is at that point, Bharata Maharshi wanted to reveal to him who he was, isn't it? He says to him that, you are asking me, you don't know me, do you? You have not seen me, we don't know each other. But I'll tell you who I was, he said. Aham bhura bharato nama raja vimukta drishta shruta sanga bandaha aradhanam bhagavadai hamano mrugobhava mruga sanghal adhartha. 14th verse. Same chapter. In the 12th chapter, 14th verse. Aham bhura bharato nama raja vimukta drishta shruta sanga bandha aradhanam bhagavadai hamano mrugobhava mruga sanghal adhartha. Then it is not, Jatabharata is not telling about this life. He is saying, in the past, I was that Emperor Bharata, he says. And that means in the birth before the one before the last. The one before the last. And then I got the body of a deer. I have given up that body and I got this body now. And Bharata Maharshi is saying there that I have nothing to say to anybody, he says. I don't say to anything to anybody and I have nothing to say to anybody because I'm frightened that if I'll develop any relationship with anyone. See how careful one has to be in that state. That he's saying I have to be careful that I don't develop any relationship with anybody and therefore I am moving around in this way, in this world. Because of my connection with somebody, attachment with someone, it cost me 3 births. It has cost me 3 births. And I do not want to have another body again. And therefore I don't say anything to anybody. I don't say anything to anybody. The reason I have told you, he says, that he hasn't spent that explicitly there. But commentators are saying, what made Bharata Muni to speak this Vedantam to Rahugana? It's an unusual situation. Rahugana has upset him actually by misbehaving. But then what is, it is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. But Sridhara Swami and a few other commentators, it's their opinion is this. Who is this Rahugana? In the previous life, that deer with whom Bharata Muni first got attached to one deer, you remember? In the first life. It is that deer who has come as Rahugana. See the intricacies of changing the body. When we change the body, so many things can happen. That he's saying here, that baby deer, which Bharata Maharshi has brought up, got attached to it, and that deer left the body, Bharata Maharshi left the body, thinking about that deer. So, and that deer has come as Rahugana now, and due to that previous connection between Bharata Muni and that deer, it has now come back again in this way. This is the way the commentators opinion. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So many things are not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So at that time, when it was a baby deer, it got the opportunity to associate with Bharata Muni. That is the power of Sarasangam. That's what he's saying here. In order to show the power of Sarasangam, Bhagavatam is explaining this story like this, that in the next life and the next life it has followed. That means that baby deer thinking about which Bharata Maharshi left his body, and then Bharata Maharshi got to the body of a deer, then it got, after that it got the body of this Jatabharata's body, And in this Jatavarana's body, when he is in the realized state, he goes back again and makes contact with the old deer with whom he had contact in his previous life. When he was Emperor Bharata, that's when that happened, is it not? So, this Bharata-Rahugana Samvadam, you have to look at all sides. Why did this happen? There is no other explanation to give why Bharata Maharshi felt this compassion for that deer. Because it is the same deer who was Rahugana in the this Rahugana was the same deer in the two lives before. And therefore, that there was a salsangam between Bharata, King Emperor Bharata and that deer. Before Emperor Bharata gave up the body, there was an association. And that salsangam has followed him to this life, and he got this body of Rahugana. And what they are saying is that if a proper salsangam has happened with a great personality like that, that will follow you through lifetimes till you are back into the realized state, self-realization. So, and with that, Rahugana gets liberated in this lifetime. So, that is the, to show the power of the association. So, and till you get liberated, that relationship will continue. So, this incident, that many Bhagavatam speakers have accepted this position, that famous personalities, they have spoken to Krishna in that way, that those who have got into this boat of Srimad Bhagavatam, they should be taken back to the spiritual world. Then, so only thing is that at this instance, even after Rahugana was given this transcendental knowledge of the self, still sensing that Rahugana lacked the vairagyam enough, because giving knowledge is not sufficient. Giving these instructions are not sufficient. Bharata Maharshi wanted that Rahugana should remain in that state forever. Therefore, he explained to him what is known as the Bhavadavi Varnanam, the next chapter. That you will see when we have spoken up, we will read that later. So, here you can see that after this incident, when the proper vairagyam was created in his mind, and it was then that Rahugana started appreciating this experience what he had with the Bharata Maharshi. Now, let's understand that discussion in detail. Srimad Bhagavatam has only one goal, finally, to get established in the self. That is the goal of all effort, is to get established in the self, who we are, to know who we are, which we call as various names for that. Some people call it as liberation. Some people say it is the self-realization. Some people call it as mukti or moksham or atma sachalkaram or sachalkar, whatever way it is. Or Almanishta, established in the self, in other words. So, you can notice this in the Bhagavatam at the end, that Shuka Brahmarshi spoke the Brahmavadesham to Parikshit to get him established, exactly like the way he did with Rahugana here. In the same way, Shuka Brahmarshi tried to establish Parikshit in the truth, in the self, in the self. So, therefore, you, in the 12th canto, in the last chapter, you will see a reference to Bhagavatam like this. Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyade. Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but the essence of the whole Vedanta philosophy. Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyade. So, Vedantam is only talking about Brahman. To make us realize who we are and how can we know about Brahman. That is also important. How do we know about who we are, Brahman? And in the Kathopanishad, you will know this famous verse that Nayam Alpa Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medhayana Bahuna Shrudena Yamai Vesham Grudade Tena Labhya Stasesham Alpa Vivrunade Tanuswam. It's a famous verse in the Kathopanishad that Nayam Alma, Prabhupada has also quoted this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, somewhere in this 5th, 5th or 6th chapter. Nayamalpa Prabhachanena Labhyo Na Medhayana Bahuna Shudena. Even if you have come to know everything, you may have come to know a lot of things in this world, lot of knowledge about various things. But if you have not known that person who is knowing it, the person who is knowing it, what is the use of knowing so many things? You have studied a lot of things in this world, got all the degrees and PhDs and so many other things. You know so many things. But Upanishad question is, if you do not know the person who is knowing all these things, that knowledge what you have got is useless. Because that person you don't know who has got that. That is why they give importance to the person who is knowing it rather than the person what he has known. That's not important. From the Vedantam point of view, you are more important than the world. World is not important. You are important. That's what it's saying there. Nayam alpa pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. Then, this knowledge that what you have known, more important than that, the knowledge who you are is more valuable. Not the things what you have known is important, the person who you are is more important. If you have known that, that's more valuable. How will you know that? Upanishad is saying, pravachane inalabhya. You will not get that by hearing lectures. And no matter how many shastram you have studied, and you have managed to learn all the commentaries on that, all that will remain in your intelligence. It won't go beyond than that. And if you have the good intelligence with intelligence, if by intelligence it can be known, those who have got good intelligence would have got self-realized by now. Is it not? Suppose this person who is knowing these things, when we are knowing about other things, the knower, if you know the knower, then you have known the right thing. But you have not known the knower, instead you have known everything else, that's useless. But to know the knower, it cannot be known by intelligence. That's what Upanishad is saying. Na medhaya, nash bahuna, shrutena. By hearing about that you won't know, neither by medha. Medha means intelligence. Intelligence in this instance. So, there, question is that if intelligence would have helped you to know the knower, that would have been nice, but intelligence can't help there. Because there are a lot of people with intelligence in this world, but they are very dull as far as this issue is concerned. And, na medhaya, no matter how intelligent you are, and if you have studied all the shastram with all your intelligence, still you won't know him. You won't know him. And therefore he says here, yamai veshe, yamai vaisham runude jena labhya. Then, that in order to have it, you need to receive that mercy from that Atma himself. Only that Atma is known only by Atma's mercy. Yamai veshe runude jena labhya. No other way of knowing him. No other way of knowing him. This is the most important thing. Yamai veshe runude jena labhya. So, in order that to happen, that Shraddha, that is where Shraddha comes. Once that Shraddha is there, that he wants to know who I am. If that happens, that is what we call in the Shastram as Tattva Jinyasa. Remember in the Bhagavadam? In the beginning, what he says there? Jivasya Tattva Jinyasa. Tattva Jinyasa means that. Tattva Jinyasa means that. Knowing oneself who we are. Without knowing that, everything else is useless. You may collect all knowledge from this world without knowing who you are. Shastram is saying that is a waste of time. Na medhaya, na bahuna shrutena, yamai veshe vrnade tena labhya. You will not get it without the mercy of the Atma itself. Atma, you can't get it. Atma has to give it to you. Atma has to reveal to you who Atma is. And then we have it. Tasesha Atma Virunade Taniswam. Virunade Taniswam. So, Tattva Jijnyasa happens in what situation? A person whose mind has gone inward, Andarmukhatvam, has happened to him. Because if you inquire about the Tattvam, Tattvam is Atma. If you inquire about him in the world outside, you won't find it. You won't find it there. He has to know that inside within himself, that when the mind has gone inward looking, tasya esha vrunade tanim swam, that Atma, when he reveals its own true identity to you, it is at that time it gets clear to him who he is. Very important statement this is in the Upanishad. Let me explain to you why that is so. We think spiritual life is all about getting a form, worshipping the form, and getting realized. One day we will realize the truth. Many people have this misunderstanding. Vedic conclusion is this, that to get a form, name and form to worship, it doesn't require a very great teacher or a spiritual master. Because it has happened throughout history, if you look back. People have worshipped so many different forms. In the Vedic tradition itself, we have Vishnu, Shiva, Krishna, Rama, and so many, several forms people have worshipped. In different places, Ganesh, Kartikeya, and so many different forms people have worshipped. Isn't it? But that does not require particularly a guru for that. Guru is required to make us aware who we are, or to help you to realize yourself. That is where guru's help is necessary. To give you a form to worship and to worship that form, to tell you to worship that form, doesn't require a guru. A guru's necessity comes when he is able to help you to realize who you are. That's where the guru is needed. And as long as that's done, that position is little questionable. So that is why Upanishads and Vedantam does not agree with it, the way we are perceiving that. Many people think that, oh, we have understood like that, or we have misunderstood in that way, that saying that a form has been given and therefore I am worshipping that form and therefore I have come to understand the truth. No. Realizing the truth means realizing the self. And when you realize the self, as Vedantam says there, that till that realization has happened, you are not out of trouble. You are still in trouble otherwise. So here, that to get that attention of the mind which has gone into the world, to pull it back from there, to go inward looking and to inquire about the truth, you require the help of a guru. That is where the guru's help is necessary. So, because you can see here that changing that attention from the world to inwards, everything else in this world you can know by your senses, with the help of the mind, with the help of the intelligence, everything in this world. But this one thing inside cannot be known by the senses, cannot be known by the mind, cannot be known by the intelligence. But on the other hand, we are that. We are sitting there as the self, we are situated like that. But when do we come to know him? When all the other things like intelligence, senses, the mind, when they become quietened, completely under control, that is when you know, come to know him. Is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita, if you read, you will see these things, how Krishna explains that. So, this bringing them these things under control, and this person who has got Tattva Jijnyasa, or who has got that inquisitiveness, when he inquire about a spiritual master, when that inquiry is serious inside, it is at that time, according to his position, a proper guru comes to him. Proper guru comes to him. When who is that guru? It is that Atma which is within himself, comes manifest outside in the form of guru. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava mentions this. Isn't it? Uddhava mentions this in the Ekadasha Skandam. Atmaiva guru atmaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. Saying to Krishna that you are situated in everyone's heart as Atma, as Guru,
and purushasya visheshada, and what is his speciality? Pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. When the necessity comes, when you are ready for that, that person who is within himself, external form he takes and comes in the form of guru. That is the relationship between the guru and the disciple. He is not an outsider, he is an insider. Because he knows inside, Antaryami, who is inside, who knows your position in spiritual life. When you are ready for that, that is when he comes in the outside in a particular form. That is what he is saying here, that that one who comes as Atma, as Guru, is your Atma himself. Atma himself comes in the form of Guru. It is at this time, this question will come, why is in the Srimad Bhagavatam Bhakti has been spoken so much? So, is that two different things, Bhakti and Jnanam? Are they two different things? Actually, this separation between Bhakti and Jnanam is only in the Vyavaharam. In the world, when we talk about spiritual life, in the transactions level, we will call it as Bhakti, Jnanam and all other things. But that is only in the Vyavaharam level. In the ultimately, there is no difference between the two. There is no two things. And knowing well this thing, only we should approach a spiritual life. Otherwise, what will happen? In the Ekadasha Skandam, when Nimi Navayogis were talking to each other, there is a verse there where I think Kavi Maharshi says there, Kam vayu magnim salilam mahimja. You will see that.
Vayumagnim salilam mahimcha jodim shri sattvani dishodrumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yalkinjabudam pranamed ananya. Kham vayumagnim salilam mahimcha jodim shri sattvani dishodrumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yalkinjabudam pranamed ananya. Pranamed ananya. He's saying there that, talking about bhakti, Kavi Maharshi is saying this. This devotee, after hearing about Krishna, the glories of the soul, and chanting the holy name, he has purified himself sufficiently, that finally what has happened to him, that the mind has completely withdrawn from everything, from the world outside. In that process, he has forgotten about himself. That's what's happening to him. Kham vayum agnim salilam mahimcha jodim shi sattvani disho drumadin saril samudramscha hare shariram yal kinjabodam pranamed ananya. That's the state. What he's saying is that sky, kham, vayu, air, agni, fire, salilam, water, kham vayum agnim salilam mahimcha, earth. He is looking at all these things in the world outside, and also all the planets, Jodimshi, Sattvani, Disho, Drumadin, in all directions. When he is seeing all these things, even the oceans, Saril Samudram also, he is seeing this is all Krishna. Saril Samudramscha Hare Shariram, Hari's body this is. That's how he is seeing this. And then what else he is saying? Yal kinjabodam pranamed ananya. He pays obeisances to everything, knowing well, he is also not separate from Hari. That identity with Hari is so strong that in a devotee's life, in a very advanced state, Kavi Maharshi is saying this will happen. That is why that verse is there. He is talking about that in a very advanced state. Kamayu magnim salilam mahimja Jodinshi Satwani Shodrumadin Saril Samudramsha Hare Shairam Yal Kinjabodam Pranamedaniha. So
what has happened to him in that state? Yal kinjamudam pranamed ananyaha. Anyaha means I am not existing anymore. My existence is gone at that point. Therefore, when I am there, that is when I am seeing this as earth, water, fire, air, ether, everything. When I am there, when the ahangaram is there. When my ahangaram has completely gone, what remains there is only Atma. And that Atma, he is seeing there now, at this point in time, that pranamed ananya, that separation between him and Krishna or Atma has gone. And therefore, his own identity has gone. And at that point, the Atma is manifesting in the form of sky, manifesting in the form of air, in the water, and therefore, everywhere what exists is only Atma. That is his point, what he is making there. So, this is what you remember in that verse when we are talking about a pure devotee also. Sarva bhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam atmana. Edani bhagavatyasha savai bhagavadottama. The first class devotee's state of realization. There is no difference in the case of a jnani or in the case of a devotee when it comes to realization. It comes to the same level. That jnani is seeing in the same realization, he comes through one way, devotee comes through another way. But in the realized state, there is no difference between jnanam and bhakti. In the vyavaharam level, we talk about all the differences. So, here, you can see, Kavi mentioned this in the Bhagavatam, that ultimately, this same realization, what he has got, that the pure devotee is also reaching that state. Because, without the knowledge of the self, it is not possible to move further from there. And knowledge, whether it is material or spiritual, it all lives in a person. Where is it present? It is present in the self. Without the presence of the self, that knowledge has no meaning. Suppose there is no Atma is not, Chaitanyam is not present inside. In that situation, it is not possible, even material knowledge is not possible, isn't it? So even this realization that I am a jnani or ignorant, or I am jnani, or I am a devotee, or I am a karmi, all these things, where is it? It is present in the, because the self is there, this realization is there. Just take for example, you see, when we go into the deep sleep state, there is no jnani, there is no ajnani. Jnani and ajnani is in the vacant state. Devotee and non-devotee, karmi you can say, opposite to us, for example. Karmi and a bhakta, when you go into deep sleep, he is not a karmi, he is not a bhakta either. Is it not? Look at this way, that how dvandvam comes in the vacant state and separates everything. In our pure identity in the deep sleep, we are not devotees. Can you say you are a devotee in the deep sleep? Can you say you are a karmi in the deep sleep? Can you say you are a criminal in the deep sleep? Can you say you are a saint in the deep sleep? Saint, criminal, devotee, jnani, karmi, in the deep sleep state, they are all nothing but knowledge. Ajnanam avaranam is there, but in anubhavam, in experience level, they are all one. They are all one, isn't it? So, here, Rahugana, he is saying to him that he has studied all the shastram, Vedantam, everything, but he is realizing here that my own effort, it is not going to happen, and therefore, I have to approach someone who has realized this, and only without his help it is not going to become my experience. That's why Upanishad is saying Ajaryavan Purusho Vedaha. So you can see this. How many times have we been reading Srimad Bhagavatam? But even if you have read it so many times, till you come to have a contact with a person who has completely realized Bhagavadam, then it will have its effect on us. So otherwise you will get know these all these things just like you study any other subject in this world, like physics, like chemistry, or so many other topics. So main point is, it's not good enough just like we study Bhagavadam like the way we study other subjects. It's not going to help till it comes to our experience level. So he's traveling in the palanquin and there is other people to carry the palanquin, but he has to listen when he was told by Rahugana, but he didn't like it. Jadabharata didn't like it. But he is carrying it, and when he chastised him, "Oh, are you very tired? You must be very tired because you have been carrying for a long time. Only he has carried for a very short period of time." And then he says to him, "You have been walking for a long time, haven't you?" In a very sarcastic way, he was saying to him. And it was almost weighing about 10 people's weight you are carrying now. And a fat and strong body he had. You are sitting there, and you are saying that this must be too much. You are such a lean person, you are looking at him, and you have no energy in you to carry this weight. So Bharata Maharshi, when he heard these comments from him, that Bharata Maharshi has this one decision, that not to give pain to any other living entity, because he is a Yogeshwara, Jadabharata is in that state now, consciousness. And so he was looking on the ground all the time if there was any other living entities there, so that he doesn't step on them and kill them. So because of all this, Bharata Maharshi was moving backwards, forwards, looking down on the ground and all that, the palanquin was not carried properly, and Rahugana's journey was not very comfortable. So that is when he inquired why this problem, and he told him that I'm going to punish you for these things. So the others who were there carrying the palanquin, they told Rahugana that this new person who has joined is not listening properly, and therefore they looked at Rahugana, and when he saw Bharata Maharshi, he spoke in a joking way, trying to correct him in that way. So the answer to that, it was actually spoken in a sarcastic way, chastising him. But Bharata Maharshi's reply was pure Vedantic answer. And therefore, we have to take serious note of this joking to understand, because it is from that jokes what Rahugana made of Bharata that this knowledge of the self came out from Jadabharata. That's why those questions are important. When Rahugana was joking with Jadabharata, saying to him all the jokes what he made of Jadabharata, we will take one after the other and see Bharata's answer. When he joked with him, it is on for those jokes Bharata Maharshi, Jadabharata is answering from Vedanta. And when you hear the answers, you will know that how stupid Rahugana was. That absence of self-realization in Rahugana has caused this problem. Rahugana studied Shastra as much as Jadabharata knew Shastra. More than that, Rahugana knew the Shastra. But Rahugana had no practical realization. Because of that, the questions that came from Rahugana to Jadabharata had no meaning. And this was proven, this shows to us that a person in realization is on a higher level than a person who has studied Shastram. Prove to that, that because of realization, when he answered those questions which Rahugana has asked, the answer itself will prove to us how incompetent Rahugana was as far as self-realization is concerned. How he had no taste of the self within himself. So, you will see there that question, that the calling him that look at the 10th chapter. This is where that conversation begins. If you look at the 6th verse of the 10th chapter, Aho kashtam vradavyaktam uru parishrandho dirdham advhanameka eva uhivan suchiram nadibiva nasamhananango jarasa chobadrudo bhavan sakheno eva parameto sankhattinam iti bahu vipralabdhopyam avidyaya rajidadrevya gunakarmashayaswa charamakale bare avastuni samsthana visheshaham mametya anadhyarobidam mithya pratyayo brahmabodhatushnim shibigam purvavad vaha. So that verse is the chastisement of Rahugana to Bharata. Rahugana is chastising Jadabharata in that verse, isn't it? He's saying there, aho kashtam, how sad it is, that bhradavyaktam uru parishrando durgam adhvanam ega. I feel sorry for your effort. You are struggling very hard to carry this, isn't it? Eva ohivan sujiram nadi piva na samhananango jarasa chobadrudo bhavan sakeno eva param edo sankhatina idi bahu vipralabdopi avidyaya rajita devya guna karmashe swacharam kalayabare avastuni samsthana visheshoham mameti anadhyarobina mithyapratyayam brahmabhuta tushnim shivigam purvoduvaha. Then calls him, first calls him as brother. King calls the subject as brother. Aho kashtam bradavyam, he says. That no king calls a subject as his brother, isn't it? That's a new thing in the world. He calls each other brother, he says. But king never calls his subject as brother. That itself is a first joke. You're very tired, aren't you? He says to him. How can it be? You have to be tired, because how long have you been going on carrying this palanquin on your shoulders? Naturally, you will be very tired. Sujaram nadi biha. And when I look at you, you look so thin and weak. Although, in reality, he was very strong and stout. So, and na samhananango, that your body does not look very strong because your different parts of the body looks very, very weak. Jarasa chobadrudo bhavan. Not only that, when I look at you, you look very old as well. And throughout your body, the body has lost its youth and it looks very old, he says. Nothing was like that. But it was all opposite things. Rahugana is making a joke of that. Bharata Maharshi caught hold of those jokes. He was chastising him. Rahugana was in a sarcastic way talking like this, isn't it? Bharata Maharshi caught hold of these very weird comments and answered that. And that opened his eyes, Rahugana's eyes. So you can see here that everything was opposite to that. He's saying here that, oh, you started taking the palanquin for a long time, isn't it? He's only started just then. Then he is a very young man, who our Jadabharata, and he is telling him how old you are, isn't it? So, and all these things, when he spoke these things, who Rahugana spoke all these things, Bharata Maharshi didn't feel it that way. He didn't take it in the wrong way. Because, look at the way Bharata Maharshi is thinking there. And that is what is more important. He says, avyaktam avidyaya
these statements, iti bahu vipralabdho api avidyaya rajidadrevya gunakarma shaya swacharam swacharamakale bare avastuni samsthana visheshekam.
Then he is saying here that avidyaya rajitam. Avidyaya rajitam means, what is this body? What is this body? Avidyaya rajitam. Avidyaya rajitam is this body. From ignorance, this body has come. Body has come from ignorance. So, avidya means what? Avidya means five material elements. Five material elements is categorized into avidya. Five material elements are categorized as avidya. You will see, because in the eighth, which chapter is it? Eighth chapter is, or six or eight chapter, seven chapter, sorry. Krishna says there, Bhumi Ravanalo Vayu Khamano Buddhi Devaja Ahangare Idiyame Bhina Prakriti Rashtata. Is it not? So these eight things, which one, mind, into the five materials, elements, earth, water, air, ether, fire, mind, intelligence and false ego, they come from Prakriti. Because they come from Prakriti, it is called avidya. Anything that comes from Prakriti is avidya. That is what he is saying here. Varada Maharshi, because he is situated in the platform of the self, he is saying here, avidyaya rajite. See that verse? Jarasa evapara sankatina vidhi avidyaya rajita dravyam iti bahu vipralabdopi avidyaya rajita dravyam. Avidya rajitam. This body is coming from avidya, ignorance. It is born from ignorance. Why? Because it's made of these eight things. Which one? Five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. So, avidya means what? Ajnanam or ignorance. So, why is it called avidya? The reason is, that when I have ignorance in me, I take reality that these five material elements exist. From the Shastram point of view, even the material elements have no existence. This is where Vedantam comes in to tell us that Krishna has spoken this before in the Chatushloki also, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, that what is in the beginning and what is at the end only exist in the middle also. Or, even only if it exists in the beginning and it exists in the end, it has real existence. Everything else what happens in between has no existence. So, it is based on that understanding, five material elements also, because it is in the middle, in the creation process, in the middle it exists, therefore it has no existence either. Similarly, the three modes of material nature, satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, and equally all our activities, karmam, the mind, all these things is nothing but avidya. Completely it's a part of avidya, all these things. Unfortunately, we take all these things so seriously that when somebody says it's avidya, it's difficult to accept that. But Shastram is saying to us, all karmam, whatever we perform, karmam with this, material elements, under the three modes of material nature, whatever we perform activities in this world, they are all under the effect of avidya. Captured under the effect of avidya. So, in reality, these things don't exist. But in ajnanam or in ignorance, we say that it exists. But in reality, it doesn't exist. That is what he is saying there. You see there? Avidyaya vipraladopi avidyaya rajita dravyam guna karma ashaya swacharam akalebaram avastuni. Kalebara means body. Avastuni means it has no vastu satta. It is not vastu. Remember this word vastu? In the Bhagavatam beginning itself, it was not this atma or spirit is spoken like that. When we talk about spirit, it will always be spoken as vastu. Vastu comes from the word vastavam. Vastu means the truth.
That is the only truth. That is why it is said like that. See, vipraladhopi avidyaya rajita dravya gunam karmam karmashayam swacharama kalebaram. All this is happens to this body. Which one? Kalebaram means our body, which is avastuni. It is not vastu. It is avastuni. And because it is like that, he is saying here that none of them really exist. Avastuni means it has no existence. All of this is avastuni. Which one? Five material elements is avastuni. The mind, intelligence, false ego is avastuni. And our three modes of material nature is avastuni. Karma is avastuni. And birth, death, all these things are also avastuni. Because it's related to the body. So this one particular line is so important to know that. That when he jokingly mentioned this, why did Bharata Maharshi did not take any offense in that? Reason is this. In Bharata Maharshi's realization, this body made of five material elements, mind, intelligence, false ego, and this body itself is not real. So when something is not real, and if somebody is abusing that body, how will you be affected? You won't be affected that, would you? If something is not real, and somebody is abusing that in ignorance, not knowing, you are not that anyway. So in Bharata Maharshi, this realization is so deep that he is not any of that. Whereas Rahugana's mind, he is so convinced that he is all these things. He is seeing Bharata Maharshi as all these things, made of these five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. So when he chastised him or sarcastically spoke these words, Bharata Maharshi had no impact in him. The reason being what he is saying there. Avidyaya rajita dravya guna karma ashaya swacharama kalebare avastuni. That one word, one large word, that was sufficient for him to not to get affected by that. That is the state of realization.
Avastuni.
And like that, what he is saying there, samsthana visheshoham, samsthanam. Samsthana visheshoham means, he is saying, samsthana visheshoham means, you are feeling that the body is existing. It is too subtle thing to capture all these things because we have so much situated in the body. That is why when the rishis are saying these things to us, this knowledge of the self, even though when we read all these things and we hear about these strong, powerful words, what Bharata Maharshi has used here, because we are so much in the body, so strongly situated in the body, it looks to us, how does it make sense, we say. That's what's the problem. So, Bharata Maharshi is only telling us that problem is not in the Indi Shastram, problem is in us. That we are unable to digest it. And Rahugana had the same problem. Rahugana has learned all the books, we are also learning the books. But when it comes to realization, because it hasn't happened, as he says here, that avidyaya, earlier he said, avidyaya manasa kalpitaste. Remember? So, avidya inside is so strong that it will not allow us to accept that this body is not real. It will not allow us to accept the world is not real, even though it's not real. From Shastram is saying to us again and again, world is not real. Body is not real, mind is not real, intelligence is not real, ahankaram, ego is not real, senses are not real, none of them is real. But we keep still thinking that how can it be? See that difficulty where we are. But realized a person, when he said this to Rahugana, it had its impact straight away. It had its impact on him. Rahugana fell down and paid his obeisances to him. It cannot come from a person. That is the speciality with a person who is realized. Of someone who has realized it, when he speaks, it has an immediate effect on the person who has heard that from him. And that is what this whole chapter is about.
Very simple things, a few verses, but the heavy message is in that, in these verses, or such as far as the realization is concerned. So he says to him that but you may say, how can you say that? For me, I am still thinking that the body is existing. That will be my answer. How can you say that the body is not existing? As far as I am concerned, I am still experiencing that the body is existing. Shastram is saying that just because you are feeling it, that is not authority. Just because you are feeling that the body is existing, that's not authority. It's not pramanam. It's not pramanam. That your feeling of the existence of the body is due to the avidya inside. I know it's a difficult thing to get this point, but whatever it may be, that is how it is. So that is why he used that word there. You can see samsthana visheshaham. Samsthana vishesham means you are feeling that the body is existing. Because Jadabharata is not in the body anymore, he is able to say this. Unless we come out of the body, you won't be able to make this statement. Not that body is not existing. Body exists still, but you are not in the body. That's the situation. Remember the three things. First realization is, I'm not this body. Second is, body is not mine. Third is, body is not meant for my own enjoyment. Three things. If these three things are deeply understood, then you will know that there is no connection with this body in us. But so only through examples you can explain this. For example, you are dark in the night, there is not sufficient light, you are walking there, and there is a post standing there, painted white, and from a distance when you looked, you saw somebody standing there. They give this, they call this example as the ghost and the post. Seeing the post, you have misunderstood that it is a ghost. But it was a misunderstanding. When you got closer, touched it, and looked at it, it was only a metal post or wooden post. It was not there. So, how come that in that light, that post was able to create that avidya inside us, to make us feel that there was somebody standing there? So similarly, the avidya inside us has succeeded in creating a feeling in us that this body exists. This is how it is. In the while walking in the dark, or a very, very limited light, you took the rope as a snake, and the rope has created all the impressions inside: fear, death, poison, biting, everything. It is created inside, although there was no snake there. There was only a rope. But rope has succeeded in creating everything inside us. Similarly, five material elements, mind, intelligence, false ego, senses, all together made us to believe that this body exists. This is the Vedanta conclusions on that. Vedanta will not compromise on all these things. You can say anything you like about it. If you are not able to understand the reason, able to at least accept it, reason is this, samsthana visheshoham. That's why that word. Samsthana visheshoham means that shariram or the body, you are feeling that it is existing, but in reality it is not existing. And just because you feel that it is existing, that is not an authority. That is not acceptable. Because when self-realized souls who gave us Upanishads, when they are categorically denying the existence of the body, what value has it got for you, or what you are feeling and what I am feeling? It has no value. That is why all the Acharyas, realized personalities, and the Vedam itself, and including Upanishads, will not make any kind of concession on this understanding. So, so, and that is why he says here that
Because of that, he says here that the because of all these things,
aho kashtam bhudam avyaktam uru parishrantho dirgam adhvana megam eva muhivan suchiram nadi pivanasam hananango jarasacho badrudovan bhavan sagheno eva parameto sankatinam idi bahu vipralabdopi avipralabdopi avihita avidyaya rajita drevya guna karmashaya swacharamakale bhare avastuni samsthana visheshoham.
Then he says, mamedi anadhyarobidam mithya pratyayam brahma bodhastoshnim shibigam purvavad vaha.
Says mameti anadhyarobidam mithya pratyayam. Very powerful words in the Vedantam, all these things. He says here that first thing what happened because of that, a body which doesn't exist. I am saying it existing. A body that doesn't exist, I am saying it is existing. Then what is the next thing I have done? Aham mamedi, me and mine. I have identified with it. And saying it's me, that body is me, and everything it's mine. Aham mamedi.
That's what he's saying there.
Aham mamedi anadhyarobi mithya pratyayam brahma bhuta tushnim shibikam purvavaduvaha. But for me, I don't have that. Janavarada says there that I don't have that identification with that body. Therefore, and because we are feeling that I am this body, because I am feeling like this, I am this body, that's why I am not feeling that I am the soul. Because I am feeling I am this body, therefore I am not feeling that I am the soul. This is where the problem is. Actually, the body does not exist here. And in reality, this even this existence of the body we are experiencing due to the presence of the Atma inside. This false experience of existence of this body is due to the presence of Atma within. That is what he is saying here. That when we know that, it's only that Atma that is reality, that alone exists, not the body exists, that is self-realization. The business is over there. Business is over there. Therefore, Jadabharata was in that state, he didn't answer to that. When somebody is talking completely ignorant, what can you answer? That is his position there. So, he carried on carrying that palanquin, not saying anything, but didn't change his way of walking. And Rahugana is a Kshatriya king, isn't it? And what does that mean? It means he is very proud that I am the king inside him. And naturally when he heard that he is not willing to listen and he is not person who is listening, his Rajogunam inside is agitating him very much. And naturally he got upset, and that is why you see in the seventh verse, next verse, what is Athavana Soshivigayam Swashibhigayam Vishumagatayam Pragabhidam Vacharahugana Kimidamare Tvam Jivan Mradomam Kadarthi Grithyam Bhartrishasanamadi Charasi Chade Pramattasya Karomi Chigilsam Dandava Nirivajanataya Yatha Pragradim Swam Bhajishyasyamidi. The seventh verse. That is Jadabharata did not react to these statements from Rahugana. Rahugana got more angry because he is a king, and his immediate reaction was this, the next reaction from him. First he joked with him, sarcastically making these stupid comments. Stupid in the sense, from the position of Jadabharata, it's a stupid thing what he has spoken. But Jadabharata did not respond to that. Jadabharata said like this, that the reason why Jadabharata did not respond to that is that verse, which on the sixth one, Brahmabhuda Tushnim Shvigam Purvaduvaha, that there was no point in answering these accusations. Ignorance is speaking, what can you do? So he kept quiet. Because he kept quiet, Rahugana got more upset.
He's a king. That Rajogunam inside started coming out strongly. And he got so upset with him, so he says to him that, that I'm going to punish you, that you must be a liberated person, he says to him. Says that Athapunya Kimidam Iretum Jivan Mrudomam Kadarti Kritiam. That's what is interesting there. The words he has used.
Kimidam Iretum Jivan Mrudomam Kadarti Kritiam. Bhartrashasanam Adhijarasi Chade Pramatasya Karomi Chigrisam Dandabani Riva Janadayam Yatham Pagridiswam Vijishyasa Iti.
That he says, you are Jivan Mrida. Jivan Mrida means that although you are breathing, you are dead. But there is a difference that you are dead in every way, but still you are breathing, isn't it?
Mam Kadarthi Kritya Bhartrashasana Madhicharasi.
You have completely rejected my statement. You didn't give any value to it, isn't it? Just like, because you are a liberated person and you have thrown away my instructions, you have thrown away like a grass without any value, you have thrown it away. And you are wandering around like this. He says here,
Pramatasya Karomi Chigilsam Bhartrashasanam Adhicharasi Chate Pramatasya Karomi Chigilsam Dandavani Riva Janatayam Yatha Prakriti Swam Vajishyase Iti.
That you have made a mistake and I'm going to treat you, he says. Things are heating up. First he started with this chastisement, but he ignored it. Who? Jadabharata ignored it, knowing his state is different. He is in a different state, so he completely ignored that. Now, when he ignored that, Rahugana got more upset. So he started abusing like this, that I am going to, you are a Jivan Mrida. Jivan Mrida means there is life in you, but you are practically dead, I can tell you. He says to him that you are completely rejecting my instructions, don't you?
And he says, Pramatasya Karomi Chigilsam.
I am going to treat you for your illness, for your sickness. Dandapani Riva. And he says here, Dandamani Riva. Just like Yamadharma Raja punishes people, those who have committed crimes, and how he gets them, corrects them by punishing them. Yamadanda, Yama's beating. Then he punishes and gets the people to change themselves. As a king, it's my duty to do that. Those who have done wrong things, I have to punish them. Therefore, I'm going to do that, and I'll correct you properly. I'll bring you down to the right understanding. He spoke so many things like that. It was at that time, Shivam Brahmarshi says here, this is a very interesting discussion between the Rahugana and Jadabharata. He says here, evam bahum abaddham abhibhashamanam Naradevabhimanam Rajasa Tamasani Vidhena Madena Tiraskradashesha Bhagaval Priyanikedam Panditamaninam Sa Bhagavan Brahmano Brahma Buddha Sarvabuddha Suhrudalpa Yogeshwara Charyayam Nadi Ulpannamadi Smayamana Iva Vigadasmaya Idamaha. This is the response from Isaiah. What is the problem here? He says, evam bahu abaddham abhi bhashamana, speaking in a very mistaken way, full of false. What was that? Here you will see that veda buddhi in him. Who? In who? In Rahugana. This is called veda buddhi. What is that veda buddhi? Look at the veda buddhi. Veda buddhi. He is thinking, I am the king. He is also saying, you are that body. Is it not? In his view, he is saying, I am the king. He is also saying, you are my subject. Veda Buddhi has come there. I am the king, you are the subject. Veda Buddhi has come. Then he is saying, you have done a mistake. You have done the mistake. I am going to treat you. Veda Buddhi has come again. So, actually, as far as the Brahmana is concerned, he has come out of this Veda Buddhi completely. He doesn't have any more Veda Buddhi in him. This Veda Buddhi, Krishna has spoken this so much in the Ekadasha Skandam. You know how many times he has repeated about this. In the 28th chapter, you will know this. Is it not? Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsa dinagasnadi. So, where parasvabhava karmani na prashamsa dinagasnadi? Why should we not do that? Because that comes from Veda Buddhi. It comes from Veda Buddhi. To get out of this, we are talking about self-realization. What does self-realization means? To know that it is self, Atma, that is present in everyone, not the body. To move to that platform, to understand that the self is independent of the matter, and to come to that realization, it does require, these are the anarthas, what is holding us back. Particularly this Veda Buddhi. That's what he is saying here. That Brahmana is concerned, he has moved away from all this long ago. And as far as he is concerned, that Bhagavad Swarupam, Krishna's presence in that Rahugana he is seeing. Whereas Rahugana is seeing the opposite way, everything. Jadabharata is seeing in Rahugana the same presence of Krishna which is within himself. Absolutely no different from him. When Maya does not touch, when we say Maya touches a person, what does that mean? As soon as you have got a material body, which includes these five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, it means Maya has got you. You are in Maya. You cannot say you are not in Maya, because they have come from Maya. Prakriti has given this dress, isn't it? So to make a claim that I am not in Maya, that will be not knowing, that means you don't even know what Maya is. Maya has put this cloth on us, this dress on us, in other words, in the form of five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, and only a personality like Bharata, Jadabharata, who has, as we said before in the beginning, that I've already made the partition between me and the body. That means I've completely broken away from Prakriti or from Maya. So till that stage comes, you can never say that you are out of Maya. We are inside Maya. We are all inside Maya. All our activities are within Maya. All our thoughts are within Maya. All our very existence is within Maya. And that is why Brahmana is not thinking. He is called Brahmana here. That's why you will say in the Brahmana Uvacha, he says that, that when you start seeing that, Bhagavad Swarupam, Krishna is present, Krishna means Atma in reference to that, present within the body Jadabharata also, he says here, that even though the body is existing there, Brahmana still has got the body, but Maya has no connection with him. That is the relationship he has broken in the beginning itself. So, it is that Brahmana, tiraskrita, he says here, that evam bahubaddham abhishbhashamanam naradevabhimanam rajasa tamasanu vidhenam adena tiraskrita-shesha. Tiraskrita-shesha bhagaval priya nigenam. That he rejected that Brahmana was rejected. He rejected the Brahmana, isn't it? That as though he is seeing Jadabharata's body. He is not seeing that person inside the body. And he has completely rejected him and started making all these statements what he did before. Why? He says here, Shiva Brahmashi is saying this. He says, Tiraskrita Shesha Bhagaval Priya Nigetam. Why? Panditamaninam. Thinking himself to be a learned, knowledgeable person. Same mistake what Arjuna did. Remember? And that is why Krishna had to correct him straight away. Arjuna. Is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita. What did he say? Nanisho Chandi Pandita. What's that verse? Ashochyan anyashojastvam prajnavadamsya bhashase
Gadasu nagadasumsha nani shochandi pandita. The same thing Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here. That if somebody is saying, pandita is not a, you see how the words get polluted. Nowadays people think pandit means someone who has studied books a lot. No, Krishna is not saying, pandita is that person who does not think the body and the self is the same. One who has learned to separate the self from the body, he is a pandita. That's what that verse is. Ashochyana anyashochastvam prajnavadamsha bhashate. This is all prajnavadam, what Rahugana is doing there. Prajnavadam. Prajnavadam means acting as though he knows the thing and talking things without any sense. Prajnavadamsha bhashate gadasun agadasumsha nanishochandi pandita. Coming and going does not exist for the self. Self does not come and go. Self always exists. Awareness, bodham, avabodham, sandram, anandam, avabodham. The three qualities of the self. That is why when you read Bhagavadam, especially these part in relationship with the Bharadarahugana Samvadam, Krishna discussing with Uddhava, take Bhagavad Gita and have a look at it. How everything comes together. The message is one, spoken in different ways. In different personalities talk to each other and they express it in their own way, but the substance is, doesn't change. So that is why he is saying here, the Panditamaninam means that that Rahugana has got this feeling that I am a learned scholar. He thinks himself to be a pandit, isn't it? Sa Bhagavan Brahmano Brahma Bodaha Panditamaninam Sa Bhagavan Brahmano Brahma Bodaha Sarva Bodha Sukhrudalpa Yogeshwara Charyaya Nadi Ulpannam Adim Smayamana Iva Vigadasmayam Idamaham. Then this Rahugana has got this pride in him, but Sa Bhagavan Brahmano Brahma Bodha. That means Brahmavid Brahma Iva Bhavadi. One who has become, one who knows Brahman, he has become Brahma. Upanishad statement. Brahmavid Brahma Iva Bhavadi. So one who knows Brahman, he is Brahman. He has already become Brahman. That is what he is saying here. Sa Bhagavan Brahmano Brahma Buddha. He is already Brahma Buddha. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Brahma Buddha Prasanna Alma. That state is in that. He is in that Brahma Buddha state. Brahmano Brahma Buddha. He is already Brahma Buddha state. And that Brahmana, why? Why did he speak like this? Yogeshwara Charyaya. Yogeshwara Charyaya. That's another interesting word there. Why Yogeshwara Charya? Yogeshwara Charya means highly realized yogis, how they act in this world. Deaf, dumb, and jadam, in a dead manner, without any particular rules and regulations, doesn't affect them. They have gone away beyond all that state. Everywhere you will find this statement. Unmatta jadanda madhira moga shochavat. About Shukha Brahmarshi is also like that. That's why he takes great pleasure in explaining him. Because he met somebody who is like him. He gets great, that is the reason why he's like that. He's saying there that Yogeshwara Charyayam Sarvabodha Suhridalpa. All these things only Shukha Brahmarshi can say about Jadavarada. Because Shukha Brahmarshi is also experiencing exactly these things. When Shukha Brahmarshi came to see Parikshit in the beginning, this was the state, is it not? And when after Parikshit was liberated, given the instructions and sent back, released from this material entanglement, while leaving, this is how he walked away from there. Unmatta bandha unmatta jada badhira antha moka. All body functions have completely come to non-existence. That is why he is saying here that Yogeshwara Charyayaham, that Rahugana don't know all these things. He is a king. How does he know? He has studied Shastram, but he doesn't know these things will happen. So to that Rahugana, our Brahmana, Bharata Yogeshwara is going to reply now. Smayamanam iva vigadasmayam idamaha. While replying, see the beauty of those words. He's saying there, smayamana,
He is smiling while replying. He is smiling. And he doesn't have any irritation inside. Oh, he has made a joke of me, or he has actually sarcastically spoken like that, or given me any kind of uneasiness inside. And no problems at all. Completely relaxed. And with a smiling way, he is going to answer him now. That's why every single word is important there. Sarvabodha Suhridalma Yogeshwara Charyayam Nadi Vilpannamadim Smayamana Vigadasmayam Idamaha. Vigadasmayam Idamaha. No kind of uneasiness inside, no irritation, not upset at all, but seeing that condition of Rahugana, he decided to help him. At this point, he decided to help him. So we'll talk about it in a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vamahada vagni nirvavanam shayakairava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pratipada purnamrudaswadanam sarvagna suvanam varam vijayave shri krishna sankirtanam namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവി ദുർദൈവമേദൃശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാലഭീഷണി ചേന തരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി നഖനം നജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവതാ ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകിത്വൈ യുഗായിനേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരദാം ഭിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാതു ലംബണോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു മേവ നാഹരാം.
സോ ദി കോൺവെർസേഷൻ ബിറ്റ്വീൻ രഹുഗണ ആൻഡ് ജഡഭരത ഗോയിങ് ഓൺ. Rahugana, first of all, joked about it with Jadabharata. And Shuka Brahmarshi told us why Jadabharata did not answer that jokes. He did not feel about it because of this state of consciousness of Jadabharata. And then when this happened, Rahugana is getting more upset with him. Being a king with Rajogunam, he is reacting to that. That I am going to punish you like the Yamadharmaraja punishes his people who come to him. And that is what he told him. Panditam and Shuka Brahmarshi says here that when he said that, Dandabaniriva Janatayam Yatha Pravritim Swam Bhajishyase Idi. When he said that, Evam Bakum Abaddham Avi Bhashamanam. Abaddham, full of Abaddham. Abaddham means completely mistaken understanding, mistakes one after the other, full of mistakes. Everything that's spoken is full of mistakes. Abaddham, full of mistakes. Abaddham avi bhashamanam, naradeva abhimanam. I am the king, that pride inside. Naradeva abhimanam. Rajasa tamasanu vithena madena. Because of rajogunam and tamogunam inside, that ahangaram inside. The king, Rahugana, studied shastram, know shastram very well, but all these problems to overcome. Bodily identity, thinking that I am the king, I am the ruler, I am this, I am that. Rajogunam and tamogunam inside. And because of all this, what did he do? Tiraskritam. Tiraskritam means he has completely ignored this Brahmana, not giving any respect to him. Tiraskritashesha bhagaval priyaniketam. Not knowing who this Brahmana is. And not only that, the ego inside, panditamaninam. Thinking himself to be the Pandita. So this Pandita is not the Pandita what we talk about in the world. This, like we say, Pandit about many, many people, isn't it? But Pandita, the right use of the word Pandita is only for a realized person, not otherwise. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita,
അശോച്യാൻ അന്യശോചസ്ഥം പ്രജ്ഞാവാദാംശ ഭാഷസേ ഗതാസു നഗതാസുംശ നാനുശോചന്തി പണ്ഡിത. പണ്ഡിത ഡസ് നോട്ട് ലാമെന്റ്, ഹി സെഡ്. പണ്ഡിത ഡസ് നോട്ട് ലാമെന്റ് വാട്ട് ഗതാസു നഗതാസുംശ കമ്മിങ് ആൻഡ് ഗോയിങ് neither for the living nor for the dead. That means only a person who has understood there is no such thing called birth or death, that is that person pandita. One who understands there is no such thing called birth or death. Birth and death is for the body, is it not? Where the self is concerned, there is no birth, no death. This has no birth or death, is it not? Inside, the living force inside, Atma, it has no birth, it has no death either. The birth and death is for the gross body. So a person who realizes that, that means he has realized himself who he is. And therefore, such a person, Nani Shochandi Pandita, he is a Pandita. And that's exactly the word here also. But here he says, Pandita Maninam Sa Bhagavan Brahmano Brahma Buddha. This Brahmana who is in the Brahma Buddha state, he is talking to him with this understanding. Sarva Buddha Sukhrut Alpa. Brahmana's nature, look at that, the qualification of that person, Sarvabhuta Sukhruta. That means he is friendly to all the living entities. Why? Because he is seeing this Atma's presence in everyone. Not the presence of the body. He is seeing everyone as Atma present in everyone. That is the difference between Rahugana and Jadaparada. So that is what we are talking about. That Vigadas, he says here that Smayamana Iva Vigadasmaha, Vigadasmaya, Vigadasmayam. So, and added to all these things, he does not think about himself that he is Pandita or he is a great personality. No such ego inside. Ahangaram is completely burned inside. There is not a trace of false ego inside this Jadabharata. That is why he was able to speak like this. So he was smiling like that. Rahugana, so allowing what Rahugana has spoken, now the answer comes one after the other from, and he is going to prove this to Rahugana, whatever you have spoken so far is all false, full of mistakes. And that's what he is saying here. Then that you will see there, Vigadasmayam, Nadi Vilpanna Madim Smayamana Iva, Vigadasmayam Idamaha. So, so, Rahugana, whatever he has spoken, he is answering that, Pratyuvacham, that means, you have said, he says to him, that you mentioned to me that I have just started taking the palanquin. First thing, he said. Oh, you have been carrying the palanquin for a long time, isn't it? And you also told me that you are not feeling the fatigue of carrying the palanquin. You may not be feeling the fatigue of the palanquin. And you also said you are a young person. So many things he has spoken before, isn't it? Allowing all that, Jadabharata says to him, Tvayodidam Brahmana Vacha. Look at the first verse. Tvayodidam Vipvyaktam Avipralabdham Vartam Samesyadyadi Virabhara Gandhuryadisyal Thadigamyam Advval Pivedi Rashau Navidam Pravadaha. Then he says here, Tvayodidam Vyaktam Mava Vyaktam Avipralabdham Bartus Samesyadir Virabhara. He says, first thing is, I'm not feeling the weight of the palanquin. I'm not feeling the weight, he says. Who feels the weight? One who is carrying the weight will feel the weight, isn't it? But I am not carrying, the body is carrying. Body is carrying the weight, and body may be feeling the weight, but if I am not that body, how can the weight come to me? I am not feeling that weight.
this will happen in that realized state, that the weight of that what has been thrown on his shoulder will not be affected. There are so many examples. If you look into great personalities who have realized the truth, I mentioned this before, Sadashiva Brahmendra's life, when his hand was cut off by the agents of the king of Arcot, cut it off and the hand fell off there and he is walking, not even known that the hand is gone, because he has said goodbye to the body long ago. Many years ago he has already left the body, but body is still moving in this world. Prarabdham has not finished, body is still staying. Prarabdham is for the body, and in order that body is experiencing the prarabdham, so for the body to experience the prarabdham, the living force has to stay inside. And that is why he is staying in the body at that point. So Sadashiva Brahmendra's hand was cut off, and the hand fell off, and the Muslim Nawab, who was Arcot, the Nawab, it was called Nawab at that time. You will see in Chaitanya also the word Nawab used. It's some Urdu word, I think, I don't know where it came from. But Nawab, they are called, the rulers at that time. He understood that this is not an ordinary person. Hand was cut off, it's lying there, he's kept on walking. Then he brings the hand back and shows it to him. He takes the hand and puts it back. Stick it back together and it goes back into the normal again. That's what he's saying here. Toyodidam vyaktam avipralabdham bhartusvamesya didivira bhara. He's not experiencing the weight anymore. In Ravana Maharshi's case, the incident happened like this, that while cutting the vegetables in the morning, while cooking in the kitchen, cutting the vegetables, one finger got cut. The knife has cut the finger and the piece of finger has fallen off. He didn't even know that. He didn't feel any pain. And somebody noticed that and took the finger back and put it back again to the same place where it had fallen off. Later on, much, much later, almost very close to, while leaving his body, news reporters came there and one of them asked him that he left his body due to cancer. He said, in this state, could you not cure your cancer of the body? This reporter was asking him, can you not cure the cancer of the body? After all, you are free from the body to such an extent, and you are in such a realized state. Maharshi's answer is very interesting. Maharshi says to him that, first of all, in order to do anything with that body, I have to think that it is my body, first of all. He is saying this, living within that body. He is saying this. I have to accept that that is my body first. Secondly, it is a problem with the body. So to fix that problem of the body, what has happened now with this finger, cancer, he's talking about the cancer now. He says, in order to fix that body, to get rid of that cancer from there, I have to identify with that body. And then I have to think that I have got cancer. Actually, I have not got cancer. Body has got the cancer, not me. So this clarity, this separation from the body is so important. Whether it is our Brahmana here, Jadabharata, or Dattatreya, or Rishabhadev, or Parikshit, no matter who it is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see when that separation happens, it is a clear separation once for all. There is no more coming back to that body again and identifying with it and suffer from that again. So this is what the most important thing. He says here, Toyodidam vyaktam avipralabdham bhartusam esya adyadivira bhara gandur yadesya ladigamyam adhval pivedi rashaunavidam pravaja. Then he says here, gandur that is, Gandur Yadisyal Dhadi Gamya Madhval. You are saying that I could be tired by walking from A to B, by carrying this palanquin from one place to another. He says, I am not going anywhere. Body is going. I am not going. If the body is going, body will have a problem. I don't have a problem. What has got to do with me?
And Alpa is concerned, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? What does he say? It has no movement at all. If you look at that second chapter, you will see there about the beauty of the soul, talking about the soul. It does not travel. Forget the words. It does not travel. Soul does not travel. Soul doesn't have to travel. That is why it's time and space, you can't bring it into the soul. As far as soul is concerned, soul is present everywhere. And in that presence, these things are happening. Bodies are coming, bodies are going. In different places, in different forms. Namarupams existing there. So he's saying here, only one who is traveling, he has a place to leave and a place to reach. Is it not? Only if you have to leave a place and to reach another place, then you are traveling. But I am not traveling. In the platform of the soul, where is the question of travel? And only, that is what he is saying here. Gandur yadisyal adigamya madhwal. Where do I go? I have not to go to anywhere. I don't have to go anywhere. There is nowhere to go. And who is going? The body is going. Body is traveling. And because I am not this body, I am not traveling. I am not traveling. And so, and not only that, Pivedi rashau navidam pravadam. That not only that, I have nothing to do with the body, and I am not traveling anywhere. So, he is trying to tell Rahugana, all your statements are false. Everything is false. You told me first thing that I am carrying a weight, and that I must be tired because of the carrying the weight. He said, not? No, I am not feeling the weight. I am not carrying the weight. Somebody else is carrying, the body is carrying, so what am I supposed to do with that? It doesn't affect me, one thing. Secondly, I am not travelling anywhere, because why? Body is travelling. I am present everywhere. This is why Shuka Brahmarshi and this Jarabharata, they go so closely in everything, in their... Remember, when we talked about Shuka Brahmarshi also, Tam Sarvabodha Hridayam Munimanatosmi, in the second chapter. Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munim Anathosmi. That Shugamuni, who is present in everyone, as in the form of Alma, he has no to travel anywhere. That is why when he was moving away, walking away fully without any clothes on, he was passing through that, and the women who were bathing in the river, they took the clothes and covered themselves. They didn't cover themselves. Later on, Vedavyas comes there, and they covered themselves, and Vedavyas asked them, why did the women take the clothes and cover themselves when they saw me, while Shuka Brahmarshi walked that way, they didn't do anything. And the reason was this, that a person who has no existence as far as the body is concerned, even the women who saw that, they have not experienced that a person is walking through there. Even the gross body was going through that. And whereas, they were saying, the women answered that, they say that that person does not have any more bodily identity. Who? Referring to Shuka Brahmarshi. He does not have any more bodily identity, therefore we didn't feel shy at all in bathing in the way we were bathing then. Whereas you still have some bodily identity, referring to Vedavyas. Son has beaten the father in this. In realization, son has beaten the father. He is there saying to him, Vedavyas, you still have some bodily identification. Because you remember, he went after him saying, Yam pravrajantam anubedam abedakrityam dvaipayano virahagadaram ajuhava putredi. Putra putra, he was calling and going after him. That indicated to the women that he still has some bodily identification. And what happened to, in his case, that ajuhava putredi dan maidaya taravobhinedu tam sarvabodha hridayam muni manatosmi. On behalf of the son who answered all the trees and plants and the creepers, they were asking, answering Vedavyas on behalf of Shuka Brahmarshi. What does that indicate? That he has completely separated from the body. He, of course, in Shuka Brahmarshi says he accepts the body when he wants it. And he can give up the body when he wants it. Body is not him, he knows that so well. But for others to see, he may accept a body, otherwise not. But because the women who are bathing realized that there is no body identification, Shugha Brahmarshi, they didn't feel that shyness to cover themselves when they saw Shugha Brahmarshi. Instead, Putredi Dhanmaida Yattarevo Bhinedu. When he is calling Putra Putra and going after him, seeing that, women thought that he still have bodily identification, therefore they covered themselves. So, similarly here, he says to him that body does not travel. Like Shugha Brahmarshi's situation, body is not traveling. And there is no particular route for me to travel. Where spirit soul does not require motorways and roads to travel. We require all that. Why? Because we have got the body. Is it not? Because there is a body, we have to have all these vehicles and the motorways, A roads, B roads, everything. We have all these things. But spirit soul, we don't require. That's what he's saying. Gandur yadisyal adigamya madhwal Pivedirashauna Vidam Pravagam. You also said one thing, that I am fat. You mentioned that. You are a fat person. And you also said you are a strong person. All that is in the body, not in me, he says. And learned people, he says, Na Vidam Pravadaha. Learned people will not speak like this. Only one who identifies with the body or one who has no knowledge, they talk like this. He says to Jalabharata, says this to Rahugana. And in their transactions, in Vyavaharam, in this world, these things will be there. But those who have realized that I am not this body, I am separate from the body, my eternal identity is soul, in that situation, they will not talk like this, in this way, he says to him. And therefore, whatever you have spoken, this cannot be taken very seriously. Jadabharata is replying this. Tvayogidam vivyaktam avipraladham bhartusvameya yadivirabhara ganduryadasyal adigamya madhval pivedi rashaunavidam pravadaham. So, here we have to understand that all these things what you have spoken is in relationship with the body. Whatever Rahugana has spoken about is in relationship with the body. What does body means? That's the next question. What does body means? Body means, generally in the Yoga Margam, they will say body is made of these five sheets, isn't it? Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam, Kosham. This Kosham, this five sheet, is covering the soul in the form of this body. And out of that you can see that the first one, the Annamayam. Annamayam is this gross body. What we have, this gross body, is the Annamayam. Because it's sustained by the food. Therefore it's called Annamayam. And then apart from that, four more inside. Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. So, Pranamayam, when we say Pranamayam, Pranamayam means pranan, all the different pranas in the body. The five pranas inside the body. And five upapranas also. They are there in the Bhagavatam spoken. So these five pranas, along with the senses of action, karmendriyam. Karmendriyam means vaka, pani, padam, upastam, vayu. That is of five things. That means power of speech, hands, legs, genitals and the rectum. These are the five karmendriyam they are called. Vaka, pani, padam, vayu, upastam. So these five things, these combined together along with the pranan is called pranamaya kosham. Pranamaya kosham means all these things together. Pranamaya kosham is not only pranan. Pranan combined with the senses of action, karmendriyam, is called pranamaya kosham. Then we have got manomaya kosham. Manomaya kosham means the mind inside, which includes the ahangaram as well, chittam. That subtle body inside, you can call it Manomaya Kosham. Then we have got Vijnanamaya Kosham. Vijnanamaya Kosham means our intelligence combined with the senses of knowledge. Senses of knowledge means these five things. What do they call the Shabdasparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham? That means sound, touch, smell, taste, and the five of them. The five senses of knowledge combined with intelligence is called Vijnanamaya Kosham. So, Vijnanamaya Kosham is not only intelligence. intelligence can only operate with the help of these five senses. Only then it will function. The package is together. So five senses of knowledge with the intelligence is compared, is called Vijnanamaya Kosham in the yoga's language, yoga's point of view. So and then finally we have got what they call as Anandamaya Kosham, isn't it? This Anandamaya Kosham, in Vedantam it is called Karana Shariram, which is the not Sula Shariram, not Sushmam, but the Karana Shariram. And that is the body what we have in the deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state, we are in that. And then, and while we are in that deep sleep state, that Karana Shariram is what is giving us that happiness when we experience in the deep sleep state. That means, you are not in the gross body, you are not in the subtle body. But you are experiencing happiness in the deep sleep state, isn't it? So where is it experienced? It is experienced in that Karana Shariram. So that Shariram or body, what you have in the deep sleep state, where you are experiencing that the bliss of the deep sleep, a happiness of the deep sleep, that's called Karana Shariram. That's called Karana Shariram. So, so, and you can see when you wake up from the deep sleep state, you want to go back to it again, to enjoy that. Because that is the highest happiness in this world, that deep sleep. Is it not? Because we don't know what that, we have not understood it in that way. We think that deep sleep state is very ignorant. Yes, ignorance is there, tamogunam is there. But imagine that happiness what you are getting in that deep sleep, without which you couldn't live in this world, could you? As soon, if you don't have a good deep sleep for 1 or 2 days, that's the only thing you want. Even millions of pounds won't compensate for that. Such an important thing that is. But we ignore that deep sleep state. So that is why when you are experiencing that deep sleep state, that happiness, which is experienced in the Anandamaya Kosham, what is known as Karana Shariram in the Vedantam, they call it as, which is called Anandamaya Kosham in the yoga language, Ashtanga Yogam, called Karana Shariram in the Vedantam. That's all. Vastu is the same. All these are connected to each other. They are not separate. Otherwise, if they are separate, it won't make sense. They are all together. Whatever we say in Ashtanga Yogam as Vijnanamaya Kosham, because this is from Patanjali's Yoga Sutram it comes, that where we call it as Vijnanamaya Kosham is the same thing. In Vedantam they call it as Karana Shariram. Because why? In result, they are both having the same effect inside us. So, there is no thoughts. All thoughts are stopped in that deep sleep state. And everything dissolves there at that point. Is it not? Everything dissolves there. And and what you have to remember here is that dissolving there, body and the mind in the deep sleep, is not through the thought process. It is not through thought process. Not through vicharam, alpa vicharam. It is not by self-analysis or by your effort that it has happened. It happened in a natural way. It has happened to us. And you are experiencing that happiness in that state. What is present there, dissolving mind and ego, both are dissolving there, is it not? What are we doing in self-realization? We are also trying to do the same thing in the vacant state. To dissolve the mind, to dissolve the false ego. These are the purpose of behind all these things. So, what we are trying to do in the vacant state, and to realize that, the same thing is happening in the deep sleep state, without our knowledge, without any self-inquiry, without studying any shastram, without any sadhana, without any effort, in a natural way it's happening. Is it not? So here, that is why we say that in tamogunam it happens in the deep sleep state. And it is a tamogunam that is facilitating that. That layam means dissolving it. Dissolving the mind, dissolving the ego in the deep sleep state is due to tamogunam. Tamogunam helps that. And that is why you are not conscious of what happened there when you wake up. Now, but you cannot deny this one fact, that when you are experiencing that deep sleep state, you are there. Because if you are not there, how can you say when you wake up that you had a good time? Is it not? Suppose you are not there. So you know very well that your ego was not there to experience that. Ego wasn't there. Ego dissolved in the deep sleep. Mind got dissolved in the deep sleep. Body you have already left in the dream state itself. When you moved on to the dream state, the body is gone. When you move into deep sleep, intelligence, ego and senses, everything gone. But when you wake up from the deep sleep, you are saying that I had a great time. So if you have to report that at that time, you must have been there. That is why Shastram is very particular. Vedantam says to us that no matter these three states are coming and going, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the person who is experiencing the vacant state, dream state and deep sleep is one and the same. Even though we may call him as Vishwam, Taijasam, Prajnam. You will see in the 12th canto spoken about that. So, so nobody will say when they wake up from the deep sleep, I wasn't there. All everybody will say, when they wake up, I had a good time. That's what they will say. I had such a good sleep, such a deep sleep. So, so if I wasn't there, how can I report that? So there is no doubt about that you were there. Otherwise you couldn't have spoken about that. Because that happiness, you have experienced it. That's why you are saying like that. And there was no other senses to tell us about it. All senses have gone long ago. So, everything was dissolved, isn't it? But still you are repeating that when you wake up, that I enjoyed that deep sleep state. And you want to go back to it again. You want to go back to it again. It is that great, that happiness there, that you want to go back to it again. That's known, isn't it? Suppose you had such a good sleep, deep sleep in the night. Somebody come and wake you up. Come on, get up for Mangalarti. You are in a much higher stage than Mangalarti there. But Mangalarti won't give you that happiness. So, we are thinking like this because we have conditioned like that to think. We never analyzed it properly. That what you are experiencing there, that you are attending Mangalarti to get rid of this body, mind, everything, which is already got rid of in that deep sleep. So which state is better? In the deep sleep state, to get rid of this gross body, to realize the self, you are attending Mangalarti, you are attending Guru Puja, you are attending this, attending that, everything you are doing throughout the day. Already it's been taken away from you. That is why when the Brahmachari is woken up to attend the Mangalarti, he says, why are you waking up? Let me sleep for another hour. That's for the reason why he says that. So he's also not at fault when he's saying that. But we think, oh, he's such a fellow who is completely in ignorance, doesn't know anything, he has no knowledge, nothing. I'm here to help him, to wake him up in the morning and beat him with a danda or pour some water on him to come to the Mangalarti so that he gets realized tomorrow. But he does not know that he was in the realized state there, already in the deep sleep state. So, so he wants to go back to it to that extent, but the system is such that experience what you are there is called Anandamaya Kosham. Anandamaya Kosham, that is, that extent. In other words, that even in that Anandamaya Kosham, Ajnanam has not gone. Avidya has not gone away from inside. Avidya has not gone. So that upadhi means the medium of Ajnanam, is still present there in that deep sleep state also. That is the reason why we have to go back to spiritual life again. If you can get that state in the deep sleep, what you have experienced, if you can sustain that in the vacant state, you don't need a spiritual life anymore. But because in the deep sleep state, what you have experienced is due to the presence of tamogunam. Therefore, you are not able to transfer it back into the vacant state again. Therefore, that is why it's called Anandamaya Kosham. And if you keep on analyzing, it is such a big topic, this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti and Vedantam and this discussion here. If you bring them all together, it will make so much sense to you that you will start thinking even the laws of nature, what the scientists are talking to us, how true are they? How true are they? Today we find so much importance to the laws what's been found by the scientists. And the reason why the scientific laws are changing every time, often they change, isn't it? Whenever one scientist comes up with one theory, later on, many years later, another scientist comes and says, no, this is an improved version, or it's next modified version of that, another version comes like that. Why is that happening? Because any rules and any formulas or rules related to matter cannot remain forever, because it's coming from avidya. About avidya, avidya is preparing these rules. Rules related to the spirit, Atma, remains truthful. Always. It cannot change. That is why Krishna in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita said, Nasado vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada, ubhayorabhi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. He mentions that. Isn't it? So, so here he says here, that something interesting, you can see, when you analyze this, when you are experiencing all these things, you start realizing, there is somebody who is knowing all these things. Is it not? When you are analyzing it, that there is something who is knowing all these things happening. Knowledge means vacant state, dream state, deep sleep state, all the experiences of all the three states. There is someone who is experiencing it, and that is the true nature of the Atma. And so, in the vacant state, for example, we are discussing now, and you are knowing all these things what we are talking about in the vacant state. But when we are talking, you are knowing it, and there is a knowledge in you to know this. There is somebody, awareness in you, which is capturing all this understanding from the Bhagavatam. Is it not? And the person who says, I know, I understand what you are saying, that is the same person who goes into the deep sleep state and comes out and says, I didn't know anything what happened. Do you understand that? The person who says in the vacant state that I have understood everything what you are saying from the Srimad Bhagavatam now, and you are saying from someone inside is telling you, telling us or telling everybody else, that I have understood what you are saying in the Bhagavatam, in the vacant state. And it is the same person who goes into the deep sleep state and says that I had a good time and then I come out from that. When he comes out, that person is not different, they are one and the same. Upanishad statement, all this is, all in the Upanishads. But in the Bhagavatam, all this is not spoken so explicitly. If you want to understand, that is what I was saying yesterday, if you want to understand this Brahmana's words, the background you have to know, where it's coming from. Brahmana is a realized soul, and that realization is Upanishad's knowledge. Brahmana's knowledge is Upanishad's knowledge is, and Upanishad's analysis is this, that the person who experienced and accepting everything as he is knowing, when after the other, like throughout the day, material or spiritual, doesn't matter. All through the day, in the vacant state, you are saying, oh, I have known this, I knew him, I know about this, I know about that. So who is knowing? It is that same person who goes into the deep sleep and comes out in the morning and says, I had, it is that person who was declaring in the vacant state, everything he knows, is the same person in the deep sleep who comes out and says, I had a good sleep. That person is one the same. And that person who says, I knew this and I knew that, and that knowledge of knowing both is one. They are not different. So, it is keeping that awareness in us. This is called awareness, isn't it? When something is spoken, and when you say, I have understood, means I got it, you say. Although we may not got it completely, but whatever you got it, you say you got it. And then you say, you come out of the deep sleep and saying that, oh, I had that happiness experience there. So, in order to say that, one thing who says that I've known in the vacant state, when he goes into deep sleep, he said, I didn't know anything you are saying. Here you are saying, I understood everything. In the deep sleep you are saying, I didn't know anything. What happened there? See, one person at one point saying, I knew everything. In the deep sleep state, he saying, I didn't know anything. What happened? Isn't it? So, but the person behind this knowing and that knowing, not knowing anything in the deep sleep, and knowing everything in the vacant state, the person who is experiencing both is one. is one. So, because only through awareness you can know things. Otherwise you can't know that, isn't it? So, even if you want to say, I didn't know anything, you have to have that knowledge to say. Unless you have awareness, you couldn't say that, could you? Suppose you are saying, say you heard something, I didn't understand, you say. So to say that you didn't understand something, you have to have some understanding. Otherwise how could you say you didn't understand? I didn't get it, you say. I didn't get it. So in order to say that you didn't get it, that means inside you there is someone who was getting it and who was not getting it. So only then, and that person who says he is getting it is the same person who says he is not getting it. Similarly, one who says in the waking state that I am experiencing everything, knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Yesterday we were discussing this. You don't know this side of the Shastram. Only when you know the Shastram, you will start seeing the foolishness in this world. You have to really, really think about it. We say we are translating books. And when we discuss that, translation is nothing in relationship with the in the conveying the message. It's not possible. Spiritual realizations you can't transmit, you can't translate. You can't do it. Even Shastram at one point withdraw that. Shastram also can only take you up to a point. This is the reason highest transmission of knowledge happens in silence, not through language. Highest transmission of knowledge happens through silence, not through language. Language we think so important. We think, oh, who has translated it? We ask the question. We say, oh, so and so has translated. Oh, his translation is no good. His translation is good. We say like that, isn't it? And these are all avidya actually. In reality, it's all avidya. Because in translating, if you could get this message easily, a lot of people would have got it by now. A lot of people got in now. Even people who have got studied the Shastram, who have studied Sanskrit, they haven't got it. What to talk about what you got translated. They haven't got it. It is that sushmam it is. So subtle that it is, that it is not possible to translate it. It is not possible to transcribe it. It is not possible to hand over it to anybody. You can see guru-disciple problem where it comes. So, the more we understand, when we discuss this, the Shramuti Sotram, these things will come up. There he will explain it very well, that Ajnanam is all the level. In everywhere it is Ajnanam, Avidya. And so long as Ajnanam and Avidya is inside, as much translation, the best translation, if you hand it over to Sridhara Swami's commentary itself to you, in English translation, it won't make any head and tail. That's the problem with the Shastram. That is why not to give too much importance to all these translations and to think that, oh, if I had a copy of that translation, I would have been better off. Nothing is going to happen. It will stay in the shelf with all other books. That's all. Even with your best translation. What translation can do? We are thinking that because, that's why even in spite of all editing, that is why all these problems are also coming because of that. Somebody is writing, there is one devotee, I don't know, who is a bhakta. He writes all the time. He is picking up words everywhere. Where Jayadwara Swami has corrected this, that and the other. He thinks that if you have corrected it, not corrected it this way, it will make more sense, he said. What sense is it going to make to you? It's not going to make any sense to you either this way or that way. Because as far as realization is concerned, you are nowhere, anywhere closer to the truth. When you experience it inside, you don't need Bhagavad Gita anymore. You can throw the books away. After that, what do you need the books for? But so what is actually happening is, in your frustration, you are writing all these letters to each other, saying, blaming each other, that you are written like this, and you are corrected, you did this, you did that. And you can go on doing this, but it won't get anywhere. You won't get anywhere. It goes on like this. Because they have not understood that, how spiritual life works. Spiritual life, you remember that many, many realized souls in the past, if you look back, did they have all the best translations of all the books? They didn't have. Very few books they had. First of all, printing was not practical like today, very few books. And if you ask many of those great souls, they may not have even read the books. And they have realized the truth. And whatever they have spoken after realization is in line with the books, what's written in the books. Books are only secondary compared to realization. So that is the same issue here, that when we understand that, that if we know these, that this knowledge that is realizing in the vacant state as well as in the deep sleep is the same person, then you will know this five sheath around us, annamayam, pranamayam, manamayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam, that this is what the body is. This is what we call the body, and that's not me. You will know that. Not the gross body. Gross body is only annamayam. But body includes, body is not only the body, gross body, but including the pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam, which we have spoken so far. All of that is not us. And that is what in the next verse. See what he says there. Stavilyam karsyam vyadhayam athayascha kshutralbhayam kaliricha jaracha nidraradharmanyunahammadashvacho dehena jadasya himena sandhi. In one verse, Jarabharata managed to convey the message. He says to him, stavilyam karsyam vyadhaya athayascha kshutralbhayam kaliricha jaracha nidraridir manyuraham madashucho dehena jadasya himena sandhi. Very precise statement. Dehena jadasya himena sandhi. One who has, he says here, so, when the body was born, I was born. A person who is thinking like that, he is in trouble. So now you know your birthday party, what it means. Isn't it? When the body is born, if you think you are born, then you are in trouble. That's what he is saying there. Stavilyam karsyam vyadhayam athayascha kshutralbhayam kaliricha jaracha nidraradharmanyuraham madashucho dehena jadasya himena sandhi. Dehena jadasya himena sandhi. He says to him, no, it is for that person who thinks that when the body is born, he is born. For him, all those things apply, what he spoke before. Which one? You are fat, you are slim, you are adhi and vyadhi. Vyadhi is for the body, adhi is for the mind. Distress is called adhi. Distress of the mind is called adhi. And disturbance in the body is called vyadhi. Then hunger and thirst. For the body, isn't it? I don't have any of that, he says. I don't have any of that. Dehena jadasya himena sandhi. I don't have any of those things. Therefore, I am not thinking that I was born when this body was born. This is Jarabharata's position. So here, this body getting taking birth and the body getting destroyed, none of them happens to me. I am not in that at all. In other words, I am that eternal soul inside. So whatever you have spoken in relationship with this body is nothing to do with me. This is how he is answering. That is his answer. Because he spoke a lot of things about him, thinking that it's him, isn't it? That you are fat, you are thin, you are sick, you are this, you are that. So many things he spoke before, while accusing him for not carrying the palanquin properly. He is saying that whatever you have spoken is all in relationship with this body. What do I have to do with it? And then he used a word, remember there, that he used the word Jeevan Mrudomam Kadarti Kritya in the seventh verse. He says, Jeevan Mrudomam Kadarti Kritya. He says here in the answering to that. You remember in that seventh verse you see there that Athapanasa Shirigayam Vishamagadayam Pragabidam Vacha Rehuganakim Idamaretum Jeevan Mrudomam Kadarti Kritya Bhartrashasanam
അതിജരസിച്ചതേ കരോമി ചികിത്സാം ദണ്ഡപാണിരിവചനതായാം യഥാ പ്രകൃതിം സ്വാം വജിഷ്യസൈതി. സോ ഈ ടോൾഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് യു ഓൾദോ യു ആർ ലിവിംഗ് യു ആർ ഡെഡ് ജീവൻ മൃതോ ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ഭരതസ് റിപ്ലൈ ഇൻ ദ 11th വേഴ്സ് ജീവൻ മൃതത്വം നിയമേന രാജൻ ആദ്യന്തവദ്യദ്വികൃതസ്യ ദൃഷ്ടം സ്വസാമ്യഭാവോ ധ്രുവമീഢയത്ര തർഹ്യച്യുതേസൗ വിധികൃത്യ യോഗാഃ. ജീവൻ മൃതത്വം നിയമേന രാജൻ. ജീവൻ മൃത മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ഓൺലി ഇഫ് യു ആർ ബോൺ ദെൻ ദർ ഇസ് എ ഡെത്ത് ഈസ് ഇൻ വെറസ് ആസ് ഫോർ എസ് ഐ എം കൺസേൺ ഐ എം നോട്ട് ബോൺ. ഭരത മഹർഷി ജഡഭരത ഈസ് സോ ക്ലിയർ ഇൻ ഹിസ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഈസ് ഇൻ സംതിങ് ടേക്കിംഗ് ബർത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഗെറ്റിംഗ് ഡിസ്ട്രോയിഡ് ലേറ്റർ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കോൾ വാട്ട് വി കോൾ എസ് ദി പരിണാമം ഇൻ ദി ശാസ്ത്രം ദേ കോൾ ഇറ്റ് പരിണാമം. പരിണാമം മീൻസ് ചേഞ്ച്. Change happens. And everything in this world subject to change. The body, all the objects in this world, everything subject to change. So these six kinds of changes that happens. Shad Parinamam. You will see, if you study this carefully, when we go to Prahlada Stuti, Prahlada and Srinarada Maharshi, there was a discussion there. Prahlada says the nature of the body is exactly the same thing what he is saying here. These six changes that happens cannot happen to the soul. There Prahlada spoke about the nature of the body and the nature of the soul separately in two verses. 12 qualities of the soul and I think 12 qualities of the body as well. In there six things he spoken about there. What are they? Something take birth and then it stays for some time. Then it grows. Then it changes, transforms into something else. Then it starts deteriorating and eventually it dies. These are the six things that happen. Shad Parinamam it is called. The six kind of things that happens to this body. Body takes birth, body stays for some time, then it starts growing and then it slowly changes its form from one to another. Childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, like that, body is changing and finally body starts getting destroyed. And eventually it dies. It dies. So birth and death, there is these four things happening for the body. When these six things are happening, that is called vigaram. Vigaram means the changes that is happening in the body. And that is what you have spoken, he says to Raghugana, what you have spoken. And vigaram is only for prakriti, for material nature, not for atma. Spirit has no vigaram. Spirit does not get, Alma is never affected by changes. Krishna has spoken this in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Na jayate, na mriyate, vakata jilnayam bhutva pavido anabhuya, ajavodityam shashvatoyam puranam, na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Second chapter. So, the same thing he is saying here, Jadabhrata is saying, when he is in that state, he says to him, that Prakriti has got all this vigaram. Prakriti only. Prakriti means what? Earlier he has defined Prakriti. What does that mean? Gross body made of five material elements, mind, intelligence, false ego, that's all Prakriti. All of it is Prakriti. Then that means from right from the body right up to Ahankaram. Ahankaram means false ego. All of them is Prakriti. You can see that Ahankaram changes. Mind changes. Buddhi changes, senses changes, gross body changes. Is it not? Everything goes through changes. But this change doesn't happen to the self. Self doesn't change. Therefore, I'm none of these things what you have spoken. I've already spoken, he says, that I'm not this prakriti, body, nothing. And therefore, where is the question of me changing? In Atma, none of them exist. Atma is always eternal. Alma is always remains the same, it has no change. So therefore, whatever you have spoken about that body, that is also not me. When Jadabharata is saying all these things, Raghugana is feeling how stupid he is. What he has gone and spoken, you can imagine. He was thinking himself to be a very learned person, a king, going to Kapila Maharshi to get initiated, all kinds of big, big thoughts in his head.
thinking himself to be very big, carried by four people carrying him there. So when one after the other, when Jatabharata spoke these verse after verse and cutting through his ignorance and proving to him that he is so ignorant, without any realization, Rahugana is sweating now. Standing there and sweating, he is unable to answer anything. So, therefore he says, when you use that word Jeevan, he has caught hold of every single word and says to him, use that word Jeevan Mrita. Jeevan Mrita, he says, it cannot be in relationship with me. It can be only in relationship with Prakriti. It is true with the Prakriti, but not with me. Very precise and clear answer. It is true with the Prakriti, I agree, but it's not with me. But you are accusing me on that. That you're calling me Jeevan Mrita. I am not Jeevan Mrita, he says. Prakriti is Jeevan Mrita. My buddhi, ahankaram, intelligence, false ego, my material elements, mind, intelligence, that is all Prakriti. That I agree is subject to Jeevan Mrita. But I am not Jeevan Mrita, as I say. So that is why. That is why. So Swamya Bhavo Dhruvam Indeyatra Tar Hachudeso Vidhikritya Yoga. So Swamya Bhavo. Swamya Bhavo means that Swamya Bhavo, that means I am the king and you are my subject. You have started that, isn't it? He was mentioning that to him. And therefore, because I am the king and you are the subject, you are saying to me, whatever you are telling me, I have to listen. And I have to follow that, isn't it? But, Jatabharata says to him, I will listen, provided both of us are what you have spoken. Then I can listen. But you are not the boss, and I am not your servant either. That's his answer to that. Because it's a false thing. You are based on the body, you are saying you are the boss. And based on the body, you are saying I am your servant, praja, or subject. But, at this point in time, you are in that body, and I am here in this body. But that does not mean that I have to listen to you. Why do I have to listen? He says. And you can imagine his arrogance inside, this Jatabharata's arrogance. So Rahugana's arrogance. That is why. The 12th verse, if you look at that, how he answers that. Vishesha buddher vivaram manacha pashyama yanna vyavahara donyal ka ishwarastatra kimi shadavyam tathabirajan karavama kimte. Vishesha buddher vivaram manacha pashyama yanna vyavahara donyal ka ishwarastatra kimi shiravyam tathabi rajan karavama kimte. Tathabi rajan karavama kimte. What am I supposed to do? He said, for this, that all this what you have spoken in vyavaharam, this may be all make some sense. But learned people can't accept it, he said. That is the power of Vedantam. See how Vedantam realization makes a person so sure that there is no such thing called death. There is no such thing called birth. Who is dying? Who is taking birth? All these questions will come. And that is why these personalities in the Bhagavadam, Jatabharata, Rishabhadev, and many others, Dattatreya, and also we have Shuka Brahmarshi, Parikshit, all of them is pointing out to us that this is where we should be. This is what should be the goal to get to. Unless you get to that position, to this state, what they are talking about, there is no other escape route. We can sit here and say that everybody is going back to Godhead. I don't know what will happen. Where we are going, nobody knows. But Bhagavadam is saying like this, that till you come to this state, what they are talking about, your spiritual life is not anywhere near to the reality. So in our, for satisfaction and to keep some peace within the society and all, you can say so many things, isn't it? But reality is like this, that this is the truth what is spoken by the realized personalities in the Bhagavadam. That he is saying here, that in Vyavaharam, it is okay, I can accept all what you are saying. So, and body is concerned, both of us have a similar body. Your body is made of 5 material elements, my body is made of 5 material elements. Is there any difference here, what you are talking about, and what was in the Hamsa Gita?
in the 13th chapter and the 11th canto. Exactly the same thing when Krishna spoke to the four Kumaras. Is it not? Krishna also said exactly the same thing to them. As far as when it comes to the body, your body is made of material elements, my body is also material elements. Where is the difference? Where is the difference, he says to him. So the same thing here, only because of your false ego, he says to him, that you are thinking that you are king and I am your subject. But I am not had that, I don't have that false ego, he says, to think like that. You are thinking like that, what can I do about it? If you are thinking you are the king and I am the subject, but I am not thinking you are the king or I am your subject, so what am I supposed to do? He says to him. And I am not thinking I am the king, nor I am thinking I am a subject of anybody. And because I don't even have a body, what to talk about anything else? So it is based on the body that you have the false ego, that you have to always remember. This body is a product of our own false ego. Because of the false ego, this body has come. This body has come. So, and therefore, and with that false ego, body has come, and with the body we identify with it, and then we start superimposing on that all other designations. I am this, I am husband, I am king, I am prime minister, I am president, I am this, I am that, all sorts of things. So, that identity I don't have with the body, he says here. So therefore, you are not a king, I am not a king. You are not a subject, I am not a subject. And all I have got is awareness, avabodham, only pure consciousness I am. And that is what he is saying there. Vishesha buddher vivaram manakcha pasyamayam nam vivaharadonyal ka ishwarastatra kimishidavyam atadhavirajan karavamakimte. So he has more or less answered almost all his doubts, is it not? And then there was one more interesting thing there, that he said, I'm going to punish you now. Isn't it? So what is the answer? And I'll punish you and get you and make you, bring you to the right understanding, correct you properly by punishing you. Answer to that is the next verse. Unmatta matta jadaval swasamstam gadasya me vira chikilsitena arthakriyan bhavada shikshidena stabdha pramatta seja pishta veshaha. Unmatta matta jadaval swasamstam gadasya me vira chikilsitena arthakriyan bhavado shikshidena stabdha pramatta seja pishta veshaha. It says to him that I am already dead. And what is that you are going to fix now? What is dead now? Ahankaram. See, when the ahankaram dies, then you don't exist anymore. It is this ahankaram what we identify it as jiva later. So, if the ahankaram is dead and gone, then who are you going to fix now? Who are you going to repair now? Whom are you going to sort out now? He says kingdom. That means, here death means the death of ego, false ego, not the body, death of the false ego. And when the false ego is born, that is called birth. When the false ego die, it's called death. So, in our normal death, see, we are not spiritually realized. Suppose we normally die. What happens to this false ego? Ahankaram goes and dissolves there. Not that's all, it doesn't die. It doesn't die. It dissolves in the subtle body. And then when it gets in the next gross body, this ahankaram has a strong influence in forming the next body. Therefore, if it has dissolved, it will take birth again. But if it is destroyed, it won't take birth again. That's how it is. That's the false ego's nature. If it is dissolved, layam it is called, then it will wake up again. It will come back. But if it is destroyed, then it will not wake up again. So that is why destruction of the false ego is important in the vacant state. So, if it is destroyed, it won't wake up again. So, here, in our Jadabharata's case, it's completely destroyed, not dissolved. In our case, what's happening, it gets dissolved in the deep sleep. But when we wake up in the morning, it wakes up again with us.
But provided if it is totally destroyed, it cannot wake up in the morning again. So that is why he is mentioning here, in my case, he says here, Unmatta Matta Jadavalsa Samstar. That's that word. Because my ahankaram has gone from me completely, I am like this, mad, crazy. Unmatta Matta means, Unmatta means mad or crazy. Matta Jadavan, like a dead person, I am wandering around without any goal, any direction, nothing. My craziness is due to ahankaram's departure. This will happen to anybody. If your ahankaram has gone, then you won't have any more consideration for the society or the rules and all the other expectations from the society. You won't care for the society if the ahankaram goes away. Look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. When the ahankaram has gone, he didn't even know what he was doing. We call it ecstasy and all that. The reason behind that is the ahankaram has completely gone from inside. All the realized personalities, it is like that. Once the ahankaram goes away, then you are not bound by the rules of the society. And you don't even bother about it, you don't care about it. You can't do that artificially. Artificially, if you do it, you'll be in trouble. But when this happens, when ahankaram dies, false ego dies, then you are not bound by the laws of this society or the world. That's what he is saying here. Unmatta matta jadavalsa samstam. I am situated in my right position, who I am. I am not bound by any of these rules, because I am not in the body, first of all. It is when you are in the body means you have ahankaram. You have the body, you have ahankaram. In that state, you have to accept all the rules of the society. But I have left the body long, said goodbye to the body long ago. I am situated in me, in the self. Therefore I am this unmatta matta jadavasva samstam. It appears to you like this, me, like a crazy person, wandering around. The same thing they spoke about Shukha Brahmarshi also. Same thing they told about Dattatreya. When Yadu went to see Dattatreya, Dattatreya is lying there fully naked on the riverbank of Kaveri. Kaveri riverbank, he is lying there on the sand without any clothes on. And he looks very attractive, physical features, but no clothes on. Not bothered about food or anything, just lying there like this. Prahlada went and saw him, and later on Yadu went and saw him. And what did Yadu say? Why is it like this? He could not understand. Yadu also could not understand. Yadu was asking, why are you like this? You are such a great personality without clothes on. So Dattatreya says to him, Dattatreya Maharshi says to him, my dear Yadu, sit down, I will tell you everything. Exactly like the way Rahugana was spoken. But Yadu and Rahugana, there is a little difference in the sense. Rahugana is more closer to us, some sense, in the sense that ego, ahankaram, everything. Yadu didn't have, because Yadu, on the other hand, was spiritually inquisitive, and the teachings of Dattatreya to Yadu, that is what we read in the Ekadasha Skandam, isn't it? Naturally, when you read that, where the 24 spiritual masters, where I learned this knowledge of the self. Dattatreya says this to Yadu. That's where they come. 24 spiritual masters. Prithivi, Vaira, Agashama, Vogni, Chandra, Vaindravi, Kapota, Majakara, Sindhu, Patanga, Madhurad, Gaja, Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kuriram, Arbhagam, Kumari, Sharavat, Sarpam, Uranabhi, Suveshakar. 24 spiritual masters he spoke there. And finally, there Dattatreya says to Yadu, I have learned from these 24 people different things in my realization process, self-realization. And finally, what did he say? My 25th guru is this body itself. This body itself has taught me something. Deham gurur nama vyakti viveka hedu. If I haven't had this body, I would not have had that proper discriminative power to discriminate between matter and the spirit. And the virakti, detachment, I got it because of this body. Body taught me that, how to get detached. Because body gave you so much misery that you started getting detached. Otherwise you will never get detached. So it is the same way here. He says to him, so sastam jatasyame. Once my false ego dead and gone, I am dead. So whom are you going to punish? Whom are you going to teach something? So, but because the prarabdha has not gone, therefore this body is still moving around, he says. This body is still moving around. So even a liberated soul, even that person, even though the prarabdham is not giving him any problem, the body still does not go. Liberated person, he is more or less liberated state it is. But prarabdham, if it's not over, the body won't drop. Body won't drop. So therefore, even he has not left the body, but he doesn't do anything thinking that I've got a body. That's the difference. He doesn't do anything thinking that I have got the body. And he does not even know that he is doing anything even when the body is doing. Even when the body is doing, he does not know he is doing it. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. I don't know whether you remember. I think it's the 13th or 14th chapter. Where he mentions this. That they give the example in the Upanishads like this. In the night time, when the moon rises, we experience the moonshine very well. When the moon rises. In the daytime, when the sun rises, the moon is still there. But we don't see the moon. It has no effect, isn't it? And we don't even know about the moon when the sun is shining. Because the powerful sunshine. Similarly, when the self is realized, with the power of the knowledge of the self manifesting, the existence of the body is unknown to us. Unknown to us. And at that time, even though the body is there, and all that thing which is associated with that ignorance, ajnanam, what are they? The body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, all these things, they will not have any effect on you. They will not have any effect on you. So only for name's sake they are present there, but they have no effect on us. And it is saying that, and that is the situation now with here also, and keeping such a body, he says, keeping such a body, unmatta matta jaraval so samstam. Keeping such a body, I am situated in the self. I am situated in the self. Saying that. It's another, we have got many more verses, isn't it, to go through. It's a very interesting thing that another couple of verses, but then after that, Rahugana, after hearing this, practically his ego is melted totally. When you speak to a person like that, he has ripped him apart, his ego, ripped it to pieces. So he is completely shaken by that. Then he says to him, I still have some more doubts. And that is these next few verses after this. You notice verses starting from the next verse onwards, that is from verse 15 right up to 25th. He is saying that how can this be and all. And at that time, naturally, that he decided to give answers to that. That is the next chapter, 11th chapter, which all we will discuss this in the next Saturday. We won't complete it today. It's impossible. So, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.